much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
Nothing is off limits. While at the same time, I urge you guys to be cool.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Aha! You are Jesus!
Yes, I am.
Oh my God! Jesus Christ! The Messiah! You've returned! You've returned to bring us the good word!
What word?
Jesus H. Christ in a chicken basket.
And now,
wow, that is really hard.
You really think you can go all day long?
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so.
That's what she said!
Our feature presentation.
I have to tell you that I fear that I am ruined and that I will never be able to stop saying that's what she said.
I know. It's going to be forever.
It does seem like 100 times a day in oftentimes the most inappropriate situations where you really shouldn't say that out loud. I can't stop myself. I mean,
And why should you?
That's an excellent point.
It's awesome.
Until I have to get a real job, I guess, I can continue my childish ways.
There's all those situations where you shouldn't say that, and just remember, F those people.
Right.
You know?
That's what she said.
Yeah!
All right, party people, you can call in right now, and you should, in fact, at 1-800-520-1067. If you've got something that passes the chip smell test and gets its way onto the air, you will win a fantastic prize, as we do each day at this time here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Here's a story, and every once in a while I'll see a headline, and it will intrigue me, and then I have to read the story. And then once I've read the story, I still have so many questions that I wish there were another story. There's something going on in Niceville, Florida, and I don't feel like we're getting the real story, but the headline is, woman on trampoline hit in the head by golf ball.
Okay.
Huh. Now, that is interesting.
Yeah, you see that and you go, what kind of circus actor is she running? What's the deal here? I mean, what are the chances that you would get hit in the head if you're on a trampoline by a golf ball? Especially when you further read the story and find out that, yes, she does live near Elgin Golf Course. Her yard backs up to it. So, okay, it's not unrealistic that a golf ball – in fact, you would expect occasionally a golf ball would come over the fence. Still, pretty odd that it would hit her in the head while she's on a trampoline. But she said immediately after it happened, she was hurt, that a man in his mid-30s came up to her and said, that's my ball. Would not give his name, but told her he was not a golfer and was not golfing at the time. But he did apologize for hitting her in the head with the ball.
Is he telling the truth?
Well, I don't know.
If he was lying, wouldn't he say, I was golfing, sorry about that?
That seems like that's the easy way out. I mean, that's the I got my ass covered way out if just to say I was golfing. Absolutely, yeah, because there would be a reason why a golf ball would go over a fence and hit a woman in the head. Why say, I'm not going to tell you who I am, but I'm not a golfer and I wasn't golfing, but sorry about hitting you in the head. Why do that? She did go to the emergency room for treatment. The police officer told her that it was not a criminal matter, and suggested that she contact the golf pro shop. Then it was revealed the woman told a dispatcher during the initial call that there had been ongoing problems with the course. And I fault the writer of this article for not telling me what that means. If that means that she's been complaining about too many balls coming over the fence, which, by the way, is on her if she moved next to a golf course, or if she's had other people throwing golf balls at her. And what are the chances that somebody could throw a golf ball at somebody and hit you in the head while you're on a trampoline? Pretty low, right?
Don't you just see a couple of guys on the other side of the fence? They see that she's jumping on a trampoline, and they bet to see who can actually hit her as she comes up over the fence.
I'm going to push it a little farther and say that if there's a grown woman
On a trampoline?
Yes.
In my neighborhood, she's going to get hit with something.
Like,
I am going to hit you.
Unless, like, she's fun to watch.
Right. Well, that's the very first thing I thought is, who wants to stop a woman from jumping on a trampoline? And then I thought, well, clearly she's not the draw. Clearly nobody wants to see that.
Well, because that's just the way life works. Like, the really beautiful girl with big chichis doesn't jump on trampolines.
Unless she's on the man show.
It's always the fuck. Yeah. I mean, that's you know, fantasy. In reality, it's the haggard, you know, like, disgusting bush pig. And in which case, like, if I'm sitting in my backyard yard and I see Haggard Bush Pig jumping on trampoline, again, I'm finding whatever's close to me. It could be a transmission.
But why do you go to said Bush Pig and then admit that you threw the ball?
Right. And also, what are the chances? It's not like this was a shower of golf balls. It's not like there were 40 balls coming over before she got hit in the head. I mean, it came out of the blue. What are the chances that you and your friend drinking beer sitting in the next yard are going to be able to hit her
the very first time?
First time, yeah. This is what I'm saying. Is this article leaves this reviewer wanting more?
Yeah, I agree.
She deserved a lot worse.
I think we need to call the writer of that article and find out what's really going on.
All right, Wendy Victoria, be looking for a call from the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yes.
How about that?
Stupid Wendy.
I know. I hate it when that happens. I hate it when you wish you hadn't read the article because now you're puzzling. Now you've got more questions than answers.
Yeah,
that's
badly written.
That's bad reporting. 1-800-520-1067. Hey, it's time for Kevin and Bean's What It Do, Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
As you know, all this week we have been hooking you up here on the Kevin and Bean Show with a pair of tickets to Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights. You can go to Carl's Jr., get your coupon for killer deals for select nights to save up to $25, or you can win them right now with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's start with Evan. He's on line one calling about last night's World Series. The 106th World Series started last night up in San Francisco, or down in San Francisco, depending on where you're listening. Hey, Evan, what's going on?
Hey, Evan.
Yes, Evan.
Nathan, man.
Hello? Yes.
What did you
do? Sort of hear you.
Just wanted to say how awesome it is to, you know, be able to watch the World Series. But I'm kind of disturbed. As a Dodger fan, I don't want the Giants to win the World Series. And yesterday didn't go as planned.
Right.
Well, you join millions of people in Southern California who hate the team in Northern California and are now suddenly rooting for the Rangers, which is something they never thought they would be doing. But, yeah, I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, it just, I mean, great months of the year, you know, you got hockey, football, basketball, baseball.
Right.
And, well, obviously the end of baseball, because come on, baseball. But still, I still want damn Giants.
What's Evan talking about?
I don't know.
You're rambling and you're not making any sense.
That sounds about right.
All right. Okay, thank you very much.
Well, we appreciate you being honest.
it was billed as a pitcher's matchup last night, and everybody expected that that's the way it would go. Cliff Lee, who's one of the best pitchers in the American League, Tim Lincecum, one of the best in the National League, who's won the Cy Young Award, I think, the last 2 years, hasn't he, Mike? They're both on the mound last night, and it turned out to just be a crazy game. 12 pitchers ended up getting into the game, and the final score was San Francisco 11 and Texas 7. It's a weird, weird ass game.
Yeah.
I can't imagine some pool where they had like an over under of runs scored where people would be like, all right, over 10 runs with Lincecum and Cliff Lee. I mean, there no one would take that bet.
Over 17 runs it ended up being. But God, I love the World Series so much. Although, if I can give you one piece of advice besides to wear sunscreen, it's don't get married during the World Series, because every single year on your anniversary, as mine was last night, you've got to figure out how to work that conflict out. The conflict of, hey, it's our anniversary, we need to do something, versus, hey, Bean wants to sit on his fat ass on the couch and watch baseball.
The only good thing for you is that your favorite team will never be in the World Series, so there's never like too much of a conflict. You know?
Greg is on line three calling about a different sport on the TV last night. Hi, Greg. Yeah. Welcome to the show. What to do?
Yeah, well, poor King of Mexico. I think the season's going to start off like it always does for him. The Clippers looked good. Blake Griffin looked awesome. But again, the same result. They got their butt whooped.
Aww.
They did. The Clippers debuted last night. The bright spot is Blake Griffin, who is their rookie, officially a rookie, because he didn't, even though he's with the club, he didn't play last year. But apparently he was the human highlight reel last night.
He is awesome.
He played unbelievable. He played 3 feet higher than anybody else. Yeah, I could not believe the shots he was just stuffing down with one hand all over the basketball court. It was really kind of neat to watch. It's too bad they couldn't keep it up. You could almost see him run out of gas towards the end of the game a little bit. I mostly watch highlights, but same old Clippers.
Well, I will say, you could be right. It could be another disaster season, or who knows? It's a long, long season. Maybe the rest of the guys will you'll get their act together, be inspired by that one great player, and who knows? They may surprise us this time. We'll have to wait and see. Thank you for the call, though. Appreciate that. And let's squeeze in one more. We can do it real fast. It'll be Steve. Steve on line four. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What's up, sexy Lisa May?
What it do, Steve?
So I was like, of course I was baked yesterday going on YouTube like Joe Rogan, and I found this like quadriplegic handicapped MMA fighter.
Yeah.
He has no legs and no like arms, but he has like little flipper stumps.
Yeah.
And he was fighting a normal sized guy, and the guy, once the match started, the guy just kept punching him in the top of the head and like kicking him and stuff. And the guy was, like, trying to fight him, but he couldn't, like, reach him, and I just couldn't stop laughing. It was so
really?
Funny.
Yeah, I've seen this guy on YouTube as well. It's
He's not a real fighter.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's a real fighter.
That means he's won fights?
I don't know, but he's a sanctioned fighter. I mean, he's
but
a legit...
he can't do anything. He can't take you down.
That's why I'm like, come on, stop it. It's just look at me factor.
He can slap him with the flipper in the ankle.
Yeah, that's about it. That's not going to get
I couldn't even watch that. That's too sad.
It is. Yeah, I agree.
I could watch it over and over and over
Steve.
And over.
You need to go over and smoke a bowl with Steve, and you'll enjoy it as much as he does.
Apparently.
Great call, Steve. Thank you very much for the time. We got an all-new Kevin and Bean show for you today.
We're disgusting! We're a disgrace to our family!
I don't know. I think that's an overreaction.
I do, too.
Looks like it might be a pretty good show, as a matter of fact. We got the hosts of Ghost Lab, Brad and Barry Gling, or Glingy. I'm not sure. They're the hosts of the program. They go around all over the country for people who hear things in their house and try to see whether they've got ghosts or not.
Okay.
Should be interesting to talk to them. Also, speaking of Halloween-related festivities, how about our friend Tobin Bell making his yearly appearance on the Kevin and Bean Show? He is in the star of Saw 3D, which I guess they're claiming is the final chapter, but I think we've heard that for about the last three Saw movies. They've said this is the last
one. It's like this is Kiss's farewell tour.
Exactly. And by the way, if you go to KevinandBean.com, I put up an awesome mashup that Mr. Movie Phone put together. That's on our website right now of every single death in the first six Saw movies.
Nice.
If you just want to see the death. And I love death, so why not?
Yeah.
So that's up now. It's Thursday. That means Dr. Drew on the program today with his weekly visit. We'll talk to a real-life Anaheim duck. George Peros joins us on the program today. And I think we're going to hear from Kevin's assistant, Linus, who every once in a while will check in during Kevin's vacation, because we always fear when the monkey is gone that he's going to die somehow.
Yeah.
So we like that midweek update from Linus to make sure vacation's going okay.
Excellent.
And about 20 minutes, we're going to discuss... It's really become a problem in some communities. In fact, one mayor is even talking about making a fine if you are too old to trick or treat and you still put on a costume and head out there.
Wow, really?
Because right now it's fairly unregulated. You can be 19 and dress up and go door-to-door if you want to, and some communities have had enough of that, so we'll discuss that. And we'll check in live with Ralph Garman, who is live at Universal Studios today for the annual blood drive that we do, and we'll find out all about that and hear what's going on the Showbiz Beat next on the Kevin and How much time, Mike?
We're on the air.
On the air.
Oh.
Hi, how are you?
Hello there.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ at 5:50. Hey, it's Ralph Garman on location someplace that's not in the Kevin and Bean studio. What's going on,
it's
Ralph?
Not.
Where are you?
I am at Universal Studios, entertainment capital, I think, of the world. They say Hollywood, but I think they're just being kind to themselves. I think they're being modest. We are here for the big blood drive that we do every year, the Bleed It Out Blood Drive, and I will be down here all morning long. And then the rest of the day, a bunch of K-Rock jocks will be coming by and holding your hand while you line up to give some blood. It's a great cause, and we highly recommend that you make some time before work or at lunchtime or after work to come down here and give blood because, well, let's face it, blood is needed. And I know, Bean, you give like every month, don't you?
I do. I sometimes will register with a fake name just so I can give again, because you're supposed to wait, 56 days. But I love it so much because it's the closest I can get to death. Bleeding out is the closest I can get to death while still being alive. So
I can get you closer. I can get you closer. I will whip your ass.
Anyway, prizes including, now there's no guarantee this is specifically what you'll get, but they are giving away STP tickets down there, Sublime with Rome, The Dirty Heads, Brandon Flowers, Pennywise, Perfect Circle, Passion Pit, Tiger Army, all sorts of great upcoming Southern California concerts. So if you have any time at all today, Ralph is going to be there through the end of today's show, and then up until around 3 o'clock today, there'll be other personalities that'll be down there, and you can bleed it out. And by the way, this is worth mentioning because this is a real consideration when you're going someplace like that. Free parking if you donate.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that's a pretty
good deal.
The best advice I can give you if you are coming down to to Universal Studios, try to park in the Frankenstein lot. That is the closest one to the actual blood drive itself. Then you just come up the escalator, and we're right there near the big fountain there at the front of the theme park. So you'll see signs and stuff when you get here, but we will be doing it until 3 o'clock this afternoon. So come on by.
Universal Studios Hollywood is where Ralphie is for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
Well, looks like it's all over for Billy Ray Cyrus and his wife Tish.
Really?
How about that?
Yeah. They're separating after 17 years of wedded bliss. Well, I guess it wasn't all bliss, or else they wouldn't be splitting up now at the end of the 17 years. People Magazine has an issue that has a statement from the couple saying that it's a difficult time for the family, and they appreciate everyone's thoughts and prayers. And funny, I wasn't thinking or praying for them. So. They've got 5 kids, including, of course, Miley, and they've cited irreconcilable differences as the reason for the split, and I think it's all Miley's fault. So I hope she appreciates that she ruined her parents' marriage.
Yeah, well, I'm sure
I think they aren't they managing her as well? So I'm sure there is an awful lot of pressure to have that kind of, you know, billion-dollar enterprise on your shoulders in addition to trying to raise a bunch of kids.
I agree. Another woman who's got an example of being a teen star, she certainly was Janet Jackson. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. She was, of course, the youngest of the Jackson clan, and she got a starring role on the TV series Good Times when she was 11 years old. Played the little girl on that series. In her new book, True You, she says that when she was 11, she started developing breast disease.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so the producers thought she needed to look like a little girl for as long as possible, so they would bind her chest with ace bandages.
Hey!
To make her look flat. And she said that caused her to believe that she wasn't good enough. She was too good. That's the problem. It wasn't good enough.
God loves her so much.
If they had to stuff your bra, then you wouldn't be good enough. But if they had to bind your chest, you're too good.
She should have a superiority complex, not the other way around.
She has battled the bulge her whole life, she says, and not those two bulges on her chest, but the bulge in general. And she talks about it in her book and gives you advice on how you could lose weight, I guess.
I don't know of any other celebrity, male or female, who yo-yos in weight more than Janet Jackson.
No, she goes from so good when she goes
from
down.
You're exactly right. She goes from super ripped to fatty, fat, fat, fat.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like she can do it in about 8 days.
Yeah.
Whatever that swing is happens almost overnight. It's very odd. More details coming out about Charlie Sheen and his adventures at the Plaza Hotel in New York City Tuesday morning. It turns out all the accounts had mentioned that Charlie was there with a hooker who was locking herself in the bathroom when Charlie went apes crazy. Well, it turns out it wasn't just a hooker, my friends. It was porn star Capri Anderson.
Nice.
And I use the term porn star loosely because I'm not familiar with Capri's work, but apparently she is a porn actress. That's who he was actually in the suite with, and she was the one who called security from the bathroom. Turns out that, according to TMZ, Charlie thought that Capri had stolen his expensive watch. He was wearing a Rolex at the time worth $5.6 million.
What?
Come on. Okay, stop it.
Capri told cops she didn't steal it, and apparently Charlie will face no legal or professional consequences for the incident, even though he trashed the hotel room, did have cocaine in his system, and was loaded when police showed up.
Stop doing what you're doing.
And here's what I love about Charlie, by the way. For many celebrities, they would now be in the middle of an image crisis.
Yes.
We're so used to it with Charlie, it comes as a surprise to no one that we think no less of him today than we did a week ago.
Yeah, it's true.
One reporter said, punishing Charlie Sheen for getting coked up and drunk with a hooker would be like punishing a cat for meowing. So I guess it's true. We're used to Charlie and that sort of behavior. David Arquette's a loon. This guy can't shut up. Apparently, he went back on the air with his buddy Howard Stern on his satellite radio program and talked about the fact that he is just so distraught over the split up with his wife, Courtney Cox. He said he cried all night after sleeping with another woman besides his wife for the first time. He says he's still in love with Courtney. And then immediately on the end of that said he admits that he is getting a little side action these days and he recently hooked up with an Australian woman he met at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel.
A lot of fun for her, though, to have him weeping in bed after they're done.
Well, who knows?
She probably left.
Yeah, if she stuck around or not.
Yeah.
But if you really love your wife and you're all concerned about whether you're going to be with her or not, maybe you don't go and talk about how you banged an Australian girl at a hotel the other night.
Yeah. Especially since he realized that he shared too much on his last Howard appearance and came out and did nothing but apologize for several days afterwards, saying, oh, I really should have been a little more discreet. Oh, I really shouldn't have given up all those details. I'm going to go on and do it again.
Unbelievable. James Cameron is already to work on not one but two sequels to Avatar. He just signed a deal with 20th Century Fox to direct two more sequels to the biggest money-making film of all time. Tentatively, they're scheduled to be released in December 2014 And then, December 2015.
This is Abada.
Make your mark your calendars for Abada 2 and Abada 3. They are the most expensive movie. The first one was the most expensive movie ever made, but insiders are saying now that the 3D technology that was needed for the films has already been developed, the sequels will be significantly cheaper than the originals. And Cameron says he will not throttle back on Avatar's visual and emotional horsepower.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, of course, he's been on top of the world with Avatar, and before that with Titanic. He also did The Terminator. But wasn't he involved in some sort of underwater movie? Do you guys remember? Is there any?
I don't know. I remember when Kevin talked to him. He asked him.
Gosh, what was the answer about?
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
That's right. I guess it was him.
Okay. Kevin couldn't have cared less. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? October the 28th, Annie Potts from Designing Women. And also from Ghostbusters, of course, 58 years old today. Actress Lauren Holly, former Mrs. Jim Carrey. She's 47 years old. Actress Julia Roberts celebrates her 43rd birthday. Vane.
Bell? No Bell? Bell? No Bell?
I think Bell.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Especially at 43. She's looking spectacular.
She's got an enormous mouth, though, and she does have a giant vein in her head.
And she'd be better, punched.
What's wrong with an enormous mouth, by the way, boys?
She's going to need it when she dates me. You know what I'm saying? Singer Ben Harper is 41 years old today. Actor Joaquin Phoenix is 36. Justin Guarini, remember him, the first runner-up for American Idol?
Yep.
Yeah, he didn't.
Yeah, and where the hell is From Justin to Kelly on Blu-ray, by the way, Hollywood?
Yes, or the sequel, or the reboot. Dave Tarrio of Plain White Tees is 31 years old today. Andy Richter is 44. And my old co-star from NYPD Blue, Dennis Franz. Didn't Kevin once ask Dennis Franz about a scene he had upcoming on NYPD Blue that involved him being naked or something like that? Didn't that ever happen? I seem to remember as if it was just yesterday.
I think it was.
Something like this.
It's time for a moment with Kevin.
We wanted to, when you were coming up, the first, we said, what should we ask Dennis Franz?
What?
That was a moment with Kevin.
Perfect. Well handled. No,
that may be an all-timer right there.
That's better than I remember it, yeah.
That's spectacular. Dennis Franz is 66 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, running out of time to play Halloween Spooks, guys. I mean, really, there's today, and then by my calendar, if I have it right, there's tomorrow.
Yeah, that's it.
Stop doing what you're doing.
Sing it if you know it.
Ooh, ah, ooh, ah. Halloween spooks outside my window. Halloween spooks behind the tree.
No!
I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
I have very little memory of my childhood, as you know. This is Bean speaking. And I got hit to the head or touched inappropriately or something happened that erased my hard drive. But I don't remember a lot of controversy. It seems to me like Halloween was kind of loosey-goosey when I was coming up. It was just whoever wanted to go out went out and got candy and everybody had a good time and there were no problems and that was it and it was fun. But in recent years, it seems like there are lots of complaints. I mean, there are a lot of communities that are trying to ban Halloween. A lot of communities say it's not safe or, you know, it's too dangerous and don't do it. And then there's this angle from Belleville, Illinois, which is the first town that I am familiar with, where they have decided that you will be fined if you are over 12 if you go Halloweening.
Good.
The mayor of Belleville, Mark Eckert, says, "When I was a kid, my father told me, 'You're too damn big to go trick-or-treating. You're done.'" And he has carried that into adulthood and into public service. He says that's the reason the city government is there to intervene. They're talking about a $100 fine if you are 13 for showing up at somebody's door.
Perfect. Good.
An arbitrary cutoff. 13 might be a little bit of a low cutoff.
Why? That's the year before you go into high school.
All right. Who
hurt
you?
That's the year before you go into high school.
No, you're done. It's for kids. It's not for teenagers. It's not for adults. It's for kids.
But what do you care if a 13-year-old dresses up like Spider-Man? If he puts in the effort, I'm going to hand him a Reese's cup. I don't care.
You know, because he doesn't. A 13-year-old puts on a skeleton mask and wears his jeans and his hoodie and is just looking for free stuff. No, I say no to you, sir.
Who cares? It's cheap candy.
of course, the you know, we're talking about 13, which you could argue. Then there's, you know, let's face it, every year there's kids who are 16, 17, oh, yeah, 18 sometimes. I mean, you open up the door and the kid standing on it is bigger and taller than you are. And yes, you go, hey, slippery how slope. Is this Halloween?
Slippery slope, my friend.
I feel like funny.
13 is the perfect age because you, at that age, you should start transitioning into taking the candy from little kids. That's what you do.
So you just follow kids
that's
around?
You. That's what you do at your freshman in high school. Just, you walk around and you see 7-year-olds, you're like, hey, let's go. Pay it forward. Come on.
So you start going to Halloween parties when you're that age and hooking up with chicks, whatever, yeah, with candy.
Yeah, that's what we want our kids to do.
No, yeah, but I mean, exactly. Rob's kind of right. At some point, especially around eighth grade, don't you say to yourself, okay, I now need to start embracing the idea of a couple more adult ideas?
Like, sure.
I know, away the things of childhood.
Finding, yeah, some, yeah, chicks or...
To tell you, I'm a man. L'chaim.
But having said that, if you're a kid and, you know, every year for 7 years you've gone out and gotten a haul, free candy, and it's fun and you're with your friends, I can see why when October 31st rolls around, you want to be that guy again because it's a day that you've always enjoyed and always looked forward to. And it is a little bit sad to think now the man is coming down on you and may fine you for going out and being on out on Halloween.
Well, what are they going to do, card him? How are they going to do that?
Yeah, is this like Truesdale? Do I have to show my ID to get a Twix bar?
Apparently, Alex has an endless supply of candy, but I prefer to give my candy to the little kids. So I don't want some 13, 14-year-old jackhole coming and taking my Twixes.
Look, so we're gonna take some calls on this at 1-800-520-1067. Let me hear from Alex and Ralph in particular. What do you do, Alex, when a guy shows up? Can he be 40? Did you have any age limit at all, or any kind of cutoff?
If he's 40, I might be calling Chris Hansen if he doesn't have a small child with him dressed up in a costume. But I don't really care. I think if you show the effort and you show up to have a good time. I go to Costco, buy a bunch of candy. I'm not passing out diamonds. I don't need to make sure that it's really special and, oh, my Snickers bar has to go to the right little princess who's 7. No, if you shop to my door, it's fine.
Now, so you have to go to the effort. Are you having like some sort of costume contest at your door? Whether you give them a Mars bar or something,
no,
depending on what they look like?
It's just about participating in the holiday.
All right, how much effort do they have to put in? Like Ralph says, he's got guys in his neighborhood who just throw on a mask, and otherwise it's jeans and a hoodie. Is that does that rate a piece of candy at Alex's house?
A mask is a costume. That counts.
That's all you got to do is just put on a mask?
Dude, you showed up. A for effort. What do I care? This isn't a test.
But it's barely an effort. They're carrying a Trader Joe's bag, and they've got like a, you know, an eye patch on. Look. And they're wearing a denim jacket and some khakis, and they want candy. No, sir. They're just looking for a free handout.
I'm not. First of all, that's what Halloween is, by the way. A free
for
handout.
Kids. Yeah, but it's a handout for kids because they don't have jobs. They can't buy their own candy. So it's a little treat for them.
I don't want like places like here in Southern California, we have Chuck E. Cheese. I don't want, you know, high school age kids or eighth graders going into Chuck E. Cheese because it kind of ruins the experience for the kids it's intended for. And I feel the same way about... trick-or-treating, because if you have a bunch of rapscallion 13, 14-year-old kids running around being dicks, which is what they do, it kind of takes away from the 7 and 8-year-old kids who, like, that's the bomb.
Yeah.
Halloween is – that is so – it's like Christmas morning. You wake up and you get candy and you get to dress up in your cool costume. And I just don't – I mean, it really should be reserved for them, and I don't want it to be diluted by these older
Apparently,
kids.
Apparently, Mike is the only person who encounters dicks. I've never had a 14-year-old kid, like, shove a 6-year-old out of the way to come to my door to get a piece
either,
of candy.
No, I haven't either, actually.
And I wouldn't give him candy if I saw him do that. I've never seen a teenager be rude or inappropriate. Now, maybe you have, but I haven't.
Ralph, tell me how you handle it at your door when you open it up and there's a 17-year-old standing there with a costume on.
I say, seriously? Really?
So you try to shame him.
And I go, really? Really? And then usually they lower their heads and turn and walk away.
And do they cry? Because that would make it even
better.
I hope so. 1-800-520-1067. All right. You might have a difference of opinion when they come to your door. They may get a little something-something at Alex's house, by the way, as most guys do that come
Hello.
To Alex's door.
You're welcome.
And then you go next door to Ralph's door and maybe get the door slammed in your face and choice words hurled at you. But how do we feel about the government intervening and talking about fining the kids? Like Lisa said, that's got to be almost impossible to implement, right?
I don't know how they're going to do that.
They're probably just doing it to put the word out to kind of stop some people from even attempting it, I imagine.
And honestly, there are 12 and 13-year-olds who are pretty big kids. And if they have masks on, it's really hard to tell how old they are.
So
the
question
is, it's a stab in the dark.
how old is too old to be trick-or-treating? 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Mike. Mike is on line one. All mics are generally shaky. We do know that, but let's see what he's got to say. Welcome to the show, dude. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, Lisa Ding.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, a couple years ago, I had this 18-year-old kid came up to my house wearing just a backpack and his street clothes, Mexican kid. Oh, man, it was terrible. I have two little kids under seven, and I asked him who he was trying to be that year, and he said, I'm Mexican. So I told him to go in my backyard and get my lawnmower and start cutting my grass.
Oh, my God.
That would be a better costume.
Yeah, he just laughed at it himself, and I told him to get the hell out of there.
Good for you, sir.
So no candy for you, basically. You told him you sent him on his way. So,
right.
So he climbed back out his burrow and left in a sad huff, right?
There you go. I believe no. 15 is a good age to stop it.
Yes, absolutely.
I agree.
Okay.
This goes along with Alex's A for effort plan. If you just show up, the only effort you're doing really is knocking on a door.
Look,
that's
I'm
the
not,
only effort you're making.
I'm not a Halloween elitist. If you choose to participate, good for you.
1-800-520-1067. Yeah, right, exactly.
It sure makes a much stress-free night. I do support that.
Don't
it's
get me
very...
wrong. It's funny. It's funny to me that the 17-year-old comes to my door, and I will laugh at him, but I'll give him
whatever.
Candy. Whatever.
What do you think the age should be that you should be required to stop trick-or-treating, and how do you handle it when you get a 28-year-old at your door? We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, party people. It's the week of Halloween. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ. The guys from Ghost Lab coming up, and we'll talk to Tobin Bell from Saw 3D. That's later on KROQ. It is 6:24. We are talking about too old to trick or treat. There is one town, I believe in Illinois, Indiana, someplace like that, that is talking about actually instituting a fine if you are above 12. And we're talking about how everybody deals with the kids who are like 18, and it really feels more like a shakedown. I was thinking about Alex. I mean, let's face it. Alex is the super whore. I mean, that has been her nickname for many years. She has the same policy with trick or treaters as she does with dates.
Yes.
If you just show a little bit of effort, she's going to give it up. I mean, that's basically how it works, right?
And Alex, you get a treat. And sometimes a trick, depending on whether she's on her meds or not.
You just got to be 18 or over. That's it.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Let's take some more calls here. Star is on line two to add to the conversation. Hey, Star. Welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hi, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Good.
Basically, I had two 40-year-old women come to my door and trick-or-treat for their grandchildren that were like 2 months old that were at home.
Oh, that's...
ridiculous.
What did
you
say?
I looked at him. I was like, ladies, I was like, the candy's for kids that are in costumes, not 2 month old children that are at home.
And who shouldn't be eating candy?
No, and like, no joke, they were one of six sets of like grown adults that came to my door, no costume with no children. And I'm
now,
like,
that is interesting. Do you guys have a policy on how young kids have to be? Or are they too young to maybe be trick-or-treating or getting candy? Any thoughts on that, guys?
Well, they have to be able to chew candy.
Yes.
That's one priority. But I've seen parents, you know, carry their toddlers around in cute little costumes with a bag, and I have no problem at all getting candy to the little ones.
Yeah,
if you make
the effort to put them in the stroller or put them in the baby Bjorn or whatever it is, and trot them around while you trick or treat. That's one thing. But by the way, Star, these ladies are probably lying. They're just hungry.
Oh, no. No, but this is the thing. They each had like two or three bags. It wasn't just for one grandchild. We had three to four grandchildren that didn't exist.
Crooks.
And
exactly.
You can't trick or treat by proxy. That's not exactly.
Thank you for the call. Let's try Joey, line one. He's in favor of the older kids trick or treating. Hi, Joey. Welcome to the show. What's going on?
What's going on, Kevin Bean? Lisa May.
Hi.
I don't know what anybody's complaining about the older kids. That's the whole reason for Halloween, that girls to dress as slutty as humanly possible. What other time of year do they dress up like that and just show up at your door? That's all for it.
Ooh.
To make sure they're 18 and they're good to go.
You better make sure they're 18.
Yeah. Ralph, don't you have a theory that it's very few girls over, you know, 15 or something that are actually even going out there, right?
Yeah, it doesn't happen. Girls grow up and they hit 13 or 14 and they're not interested in doing kiddie things. They're hanging out with their girlfriends or whatever. So you're getting mostly 14, 15-year-old douchebags who are up to no good and should be egged as they walk up to your door. That's what I think.
It is true.
Because later on, when the girls get older, when they get the teenagers, they're dressing up as the slutty nurse or whatever, but they're going to parties and
they're
stuff.
They're looking for where the senior and junior boys are.
Right.
Yeah. They're not trick-or-treating. They're not looking for candy. They're looking for candy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Hard candy.
Let's talk to, let's talk to Mike online.
King size, you know?
He's turning the older kids away. Let's see how that's working out for him. Hey, Mike, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys, what's going on? Hey. Yeah, I'm older now. I've got two kids. It's their time to go trick-or-treat. I got a 4-year-old, a 1-year-old. The older kids absolutely ruin it. They don't even try. They don't dress up in costumes. They just walk around. And it's like, you know, the kids are trying to, like, have fun, and the older kids are just in the way. And not to mention that most of these older kids don't even live in the area. They're from other neighborhoods.
There it is.
Come over and get candy. So when last year when my father-in-law put me in charge of handing out candy, I was turning them away. So, hey, you know what?
And how does that go? You say to them, no candy for you. And then do they just turn and walk away, or do they give you some lip, or what?
I just tell them, no, sorry. And, I mean, they look at me, and they just kind of look confused. I'm not going to explain it to, you know, a kid, you know, like why they shouldn't be getting the candy. I mean, it's got so bad that most of the neighbors in the area are not even getting candy to pass out anymore. So that's taken away from my kids.
All right, let me ask you this. When you say to a 14-year-old boy who's there for the free ride, no candy for you, is there any thought in your mind, hey, now I'm a target, now they're going to come back and egg my house or something like that?
If they did, that's exactly what they should have been doing in the first place. When I was that age, I was TPing and egging and running around. I wasn't going in and asking for candy.
All right, thank you for the call. Two more. Diana is on line 3. She's got a unique way to handle the older trick-or-treaters. Hi, Diana. Thank you for calling. What are you doing?
Well, I got it. My mother. She told me when she was in high school, her parents wouldn't let her go trick-or-treating, and her sister got mad, so they would go get dog poo, dip it in chocolate, wrap it up, and give it to the older kids.
Oh, come on.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Oh my God.
Dog poo.
So funny is, you know how kids are running down the street, they reach in the bag, they open something, pop it in their mouth.
Oh, man.
Diana, what part of Germany did you grow up in?
It was Texas.
Texas, same thing. That is part of Germany. All right, one more. Crystal is 20 and is the older trick-or-treater. She's still going out there, and we'll see her on the street Sunday night. Crystal, Crystal, what are you thinking here, girlfriend? What's happening?
I still go trick-or-treating. I still do it for the candy.
You can't buy your own?
Huh?
You can't buy your own candy?
I do, but I get it for free.
Do you like to dress up? Are you dressing up like slutty with your girlfriends and going out and having a good time, or what's going on?
Well, that's how you get candy.
Yeah.
All about the candy, aren't you?
I'm going to say that if you laid off the candy a little more, you might get invited to a couple more parties.
That's an excellent point.
I still go parties after. Uh-huh.
And so do you get turned away? Do people look at you and go, no, too old?
Yeah, they do.
And what do you do? I mean, you just expect that a certain amount of people are going to say that, but there's enough still giving you candy that it makes it worth it.
Yeah, I still get plenty of candy.
Wow, are you fat? Hey, party people, it's 106.7 KROQ, the world famous K-Rock. It is 6:38. And Kevin is on vacation this week. He has mysterious vacations.
Yes.
We never know what's going on with him. And we're always amazed at the stuff we find out. I guess he's down in Mexico beheading people or something. I'm not exactly sure. But we wanted to get some sort of an update because, you know, there's always a real possibility he may not come back, depending on what kind of nonsense he gets involved in.
And I'm particularly interested this year because he's usually pretty open about the details of his vacations, whether he's lying or not, before he leaves. This one, he was very tight-lipped. So
yeah, it seemed a little bit sketchy. So we do have concerns because maybe Kevin doesn't always make the perfect choices in his life. So we asked Alex to track down producer Linus, assistant Linus of Kevin. And he's been working for the Kevin family now for a number of years and kind of keeps Kevin's affairs in order. And I believe Linus joins us now on the show. Hey, Linus, how are you, buddy?
Hello, the other one. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. It's been a long time since we talked to you. I just want to, you know, we get nervous as we get to be here at the end of the week that Kevin is doing okay and is healthy and is happy. And we want to make sure he's going to be able to come back in one piece on Monday.
Well, the reason I'm calling you is because the Kevin of the Kevin and Bean show needs to have everything prepared for his return. Is everything prepared for his return?
Well, like what?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Exactly.
What do you?
Yeah.
Well, he fully expects rose petals to be strewn throughout the hallways upon his first day of entrance.
That's new. No, we weren't aware of that.
Have not done that. No.
And he also will need a very comfortable woman to sit on when because he has a bad back. You know, so he needs a woman lying on the ground for him to sit on.
He can't just use a mat. I think the mat has been comfortable for him and has been working for some time.
The mat is no longer comfortable. He needs a woman, preferably a large fat woman.
Well, we'll work on that.
Well, we got to get a checklist going here, all right?
We are having a wonderful time on the vacation. As you know, this time of year, every year, Kevin goes down to Mexico, and they put him on a giant scale, and then they give him his weight in human heads.
What is that? Is that a welcome to our country gift?
Yes, that's how they enter him. It's a big festival every year down here in Mexico. And then, of course, he goes swimming in a large pool of liquefied cocaine.
Oh, my. Wow. That doesn't even sound healthy.
And then, of course, we celebrate Halloween also down here in Mexico, and they have a great time. Kevin the Kevin of the Bean Show always finds the rarest animal he can and skins it and wears its skin to absorb its powers.
God, oh, that just, wow. They're kind of lax with laws about things like that in Mexico, I guess.
We're hoping this year he's going to go as an ostrich.
Okay, I'm trying to picture that, but all right.
And, of course, as you know, he is the head of a drug cartel. And so he gets gets weighed every year, and they give him his amount of money in pesos, which this year we'll be bringing back in a large pickup truck. And when he arrives there, he's going to give you all a peso.
A peso?
Isn't a peso worth, like, I don't know, 1/250th of a cent or something?
And, frankly, it's more than you deserve.
Nirvana, also Bad Religion, and the band Neon Trees coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, and if you missed Neon Trees and their live in-studio performance on the Kevin and Bean Show a couple of days ago, please go to kevinandbean.com or krec.com and check it out. They were amazing. It's the world-famous KREC at 6:50. Thanks for tuning in. The guys from Ghost Hunter joining us coming up after the top of the Ghost Lab. Excuse me, Ghost Lab after the top of the hour. Very scary, very fascinating show as we get prepared for Halloween 2010. Ralph is at Universal Studios today. You are live. What's the location for people who want to park for free if they're giving blood and then come find you, Ralph?
I'm here at the K-Rock Bleed It Out Blood Drive, and we are at Universal Studios Hollywood, entertainment capital of Hollywood. You should park at the Frankenstein lot when you drive into Universal, and then come up and find me at the Globe Theater, which is just beyond the big fountain there they have in front of Universal Studios. And this is not only a great event, the Blood Drive, of course, which is brought to you by Saw 3D, and they've got Saw running on the big screen here inside the theater so you can watch it while you're waiting. But it's a great time at Universal because they also have the Halloween Horror Nights, and they've got all the mazes set up, and it's just it's a cool time to be here at Universal Studios. So we're having a great event. We're giving Bleed It Out t-shirts for as long as they last, limited edition special Kevin and Bean t-shirt for everybody who comes down.
Nice.
And we've also got prizes for everyone who donates. We've got donuts for afterwards, coffee. It's a great setup here, and we're having a blast. So come on down.
Good times. And Ralph is also going to do the showbiz bit for us here on a Thursday Kevin and Bean show. What's going on?
Well, while we're talking about Saw 3D, before I get to the showbiz news, why don't I give away some passes to see Saw 3D? They're claiming it's the final Saw, but I can't imagine a Halloween without a Saw movie. Anyway, I've got pairs of passes for what they call the run of engagement, which means as long as Saw 3D's in theaters, you can check it out with a friend. It's a pair of passes to the first five callers who call right now at 1-800-520-1067. First five callers get a pair of passes to the Saw 3D movie, which, of course, is in theaters everywhere tomorrow for the big Halloween weekend. Let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Charlie Sheen. He sure has an affinity for bad ladies, doesn't he?
Yes,
TMZ.
He does.
TMZ.com talking about the mystery woman who witnessed his meltdown at the Plaza Hotel in New York City on Tuesday morning. It was a young lady who happens to work in adult films named Capri Anderson. That's a great porn name, by the way. The two met for the first time on Monday, so this was their first date, more or less.
Okay.
Apparently they went out for a group dinner. What's a group dinner like with a porn star?
I don't know. It would be weird that you would meet somebody. Clearly, there's a reason you're meeting her, and it's not to take her out to dinner.
Yeah, right. All would be carved.
A group dinner usually symbolizes something else in a porn movie. That's all I know.
I know about the hot lunch. I don't know what group dinner is.
They headed back to his suite, and you know what happened from there. Things went downhill quickly. Apparently, Charlie had been drinking and doing cocaine, and he thought that she stole his watch, which was a Rolex, and apparently is valued at $5.6 million.
I've never heard of a watch that expensive. I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars. I've seen crazy watches like that. In the millions? What is it? What have they done?
Well, it's got to be covered in diamonds, probably made of platinum, and vintage and unique, you know, on top of that.
I got to imagine. Charlie couldn't find his watch, went crazy, started trashing the hotel room. As you know, security was called, the cops showed up. But it looks like there's going to be no legal consequences for the incident, even though Charlie was still on probation for that little escapade he had in Colorado. So once again, Charlie Sheen walks away unscathed.
He is Teflon.
If you felt bad for Audrina Patrick being booted off Dancing with the Stars, don't. Apparently VH1 is planning on doing a brand new reality show featuring Audrina Patrick.
Yeah.
Mark Burnett of Survivor fame will be producing, and it's going to be the compelling story of following Audrina around as she navigates the world of celebrity. Really?
These are so not the most interesting people around to watch. They just happen to be on a show, The Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And now
says
apparently we have to
doesn't have the penis.
Watch them forever. Is that it? Really?
Yes,
is that the
that's
whole
exactly
deal with
what
her?
It is.
Yes.
But she's not navigating the world of celebrity nude, Mike. She's just going to be navigating the world of celebrity. And how much navigation does she need to do, given her level of celebrity?
Yeah, it's just, it's like Kardashian. You just show up at a bowling alley and get paid to stand there and meet people. I mean, that's her. That's how she navigates celebrity, right?
And she had less to say than anyone on that
show.
She's
not an actress. She's not a singer. She doesn't have any special skills. She's just Audrina. Her job is being Audrina.
Well, VH1's going to document that on a new series, so you'll be able to follow her path to obscurity. Donald Trump.
Don't you think there ought to be some sort of panel that can veto shows? Don't you think that there ought to be some sort of blue ribbon panel and VH1 has to go and they have to pitch it and then the group needs to say, no, I'm sorry, we're not going to allow you to put that on the air.
You know I do.
Yeah.
You know I think we should have some sort of consensus whether something becomes a TV show or not. But we don't have that kind of power yet because Donald Trump is working on 4 new TV series. Of course,
that's
Celebrity Apprentice
now, I guess.
Was a big hit. The Apprentice, not so much, but he also produces the Miss USA and Miss Universe pageants. And apparently, he's got 4 new projects in the works. One is a reality show for the CW called Keep It in the Family, which is about family-owned businesses.
Okay.
One is an animated show called The Trump Universe, which takes place in the future where Donald runs the world and futuristic workers work for him.
Oh, man.
One's called The Ultimate Merger, another business-related show about people trying to put their businesses together with other businesses, and even the Golf Channel's on board with Trump's Fabulous World of Golf.
That does appear to be his passion, though. Hasn't he built really high-class golf courses all over the world?
Yeah, but seriously.
But seriously, it's not
a show.
Do
we need
a
TV show about it?
No,
we don't. Meanwhile, good TV shows are being canceled left and right. Sci-Fi has announced they are pulling the plug on Caprica, the Battlestar Galactica prequel. I was a huge Battlestar Galactica fan, and Caprica was a good show. I didn't think it was as good as Battlestar Galactica, but it certainly was well done and well acted, well written. But unfortunately, the cable network has pulled the plug on the show as of yesterday, effective immediately. The last 5 episodes of the current season will be showed sometime early next year, but due to declining ratings, Sci-Fi has said they are no longer going to air that show.
Right.
The good news is they're working on a different Battlestar Galactica prequel about the young years of William Adama, the character played by Edward James Olmos in Battlestar Galactica. This will be when he was a young ensign in the Battlestar Galactica world, so I guess it'll be more action-adventure like the original Battlestar Galactica series was. It's called Battlestar Galactica Blood and Chrome.
Yeah.
Sounds like a car accident.
Wow.
Like
guessing they're taking on the Cylons. That's what that means.
Everybody has a show that they know is great, and everybody they know watched and loved it, but they just never got around to it, and Battlestar Galactica is mine.
Oh,
you do need to eventually.
I know. I have no excuse for it, because apparently I missed out on a real gem.
If nothing else, you got to watch Patricia Helfer.
Yeah.
It's Cylon number 6.
Cylon!
Oh, damn. And speaking of sci-fi, how much would you pay, Bean, you're a Star Wars fan, how much would you pay for a screen-worn Darth Vader costume from Empire Strikes Back?
That is a great collectible item. I'm not much into the clothes, the outfits, the costumes that people wear, so I probably would pass on something like that, but man, that's got to be
Darth Vader costume, though.
Yeah,
that is iconic.
Pretty iconic, yeah, exactly. Yeah. What's it going for?
It's going up on the auction block this weekend. Christie's Auction House in London is putting the suit up for auction, and bidding is expected to end up in the $300,000 range.
Wow.
I bet you it'll get more than that. I'll bet you it'll be even better.
Talk to me about Princess Leia's gold bikini from Empire. Now I'm in.
You just want to make soup.
I know. That's what I was thinking.
I don't know. How long does DNA last?
Speaking of Hollywood collectibles, and you know I'm sort of a geek for that stuff, there was a new show that debuted on Sci-Fi last night that I caught called Hollywood Treasures. And it's all about the guy who runs the Profiles in History auction house.
Oh, yeah. We had him on a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, Joe Manalena is his name. Real interesting dude. And it's about him going all around the country and how he procures these items for his auctions. And how he finds them and hunts them down. And sometimes it takes him years of pestering these people to finally get them to put them up for auction so he can sell them. And last night they had a woman who owned the original hat from Margaret Hamilton from Wizard of Oz, the Wicked Witch of the West hat, which was fascinating, and a bunch of other really cool stuff. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, I just bring it up because it debuted last night. But a brand new show on Sci-Fi called Hollywood Treasures on Wednesday nights. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, if I can find them. Here they are, Annie Potts from Ghostbusters and from Designing Women, the TV series. She's 58 years old today. Lauren Holly celebrates her 47th birthday. Ben Harper is 41. Joaquin Phoenix is 36 years old. Or is he? Is he putting us on? We don't know, man.
Good call.
Justin Guarini is 32 years old. Dave Tarrio of Plain White Tea celebrates his 31st birthday. Andy Richter, who will be once again joining Conan O'Brien when Conan goes back on the air on TBS, he's 44. Dennis Franz from NYPD Blue celebrates his 66th birthday. And Julia Roberts, Hollywood legend, is 43 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Halloween week, Tobin Bell from the Saw movies joins us next hour, and the very scary Dr. Drew Pinsky with his weekly visit on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's coming up next hour as well. How about that Ghost Lab on Discovery, Thursday nights at 10? We got the stars of the show, Brad and Barry Kling, have joined us here in the studio. Hey, boys. How are you? Can you hear us okay?
Yep. Yeah.
There you go.
I think Brad's having some issues here, but I can hear you.
Ghost Lab has been on now for how many years on Discovery?
That is our second season. Last season we had 13 episodes. This season's also 13. In fact, tonight, Lizzie Borden's our third episode in this season. So,
I want to hear about that. Let me back up one step, though, to say that there has been a fascination with ghosts and the supernatural as long as human beings have had sentient thought. I mean, this goes back as far as we do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's anything about the unknown. Everyone's always fascinated with the unknown, and something about ghosts, because it talks about people in the afterlife and what happens to me. And, you know, unfortunately, we will never know that answer until we're actually there. What we're trying to do is try to put a little sense, a little logic around it based on what people are experiencing with the different things that they see and hear, and, you know, just to kind of make them feel that they're not crazy, because I'll tell you what, we have seen some pretty outlandish, crazy stuff.
And you guys have figured out that science is your friend, and technology has gotten to the point now where you have ways to actually measure, to see and hear things that maybe even ghost hunters from a few years ago wouldn't have been able to get into, right?
Yeah, right. You know, we use some of the stuff we use is standard stuff, but we get a little fancy here and there. We use 3D laser imagers and ground penetrating radar, all these crazy gadgets, but. Yes, technology has helped us gather more data, and we're all about data. We're all about correlating numbers and over time. So that's our big thing. So with the graphs and the software that we use, it helps us do that.
What's the new recording device that you guys are so excited about that is really kind of opening up your ears to things that previously you would have not been able to hear?
Well, that's the RT-EVP, and basically RT stands for real time. And what's so cool about it is it's like a dual microprocessor. Basically, one is like a little mini DVR. Mm-hmm. You can set it to a delay. We have it at a 4-second delay. And these EVPs, they come across at low frequencies, we found. And what it does, it amplifies anything that's under 15 hertz to a level that your ear can hear. And literally on a 4-second delay, you can almost have a conversation with something that's out there. Now, we haven't had a full-blown, you know, conversation back and forth, but we've had heard direct responses. And, you know, and when you hear it, you know, instead of like, you know, a couple hours later or the next day, when you hear it and it's in the room with you responding to you, it's amazing. And it's a game changer in this whole thing. And it's a... I think the guy who makes it was actually making. I have the original prototype.
He did it for this specific reason.
He did it. Actually, the story behind him is his daughter died. He was an electrical engineer, mm-hmm. a really smart guy, and his daughter died. He had a teenage daughter, and he was trying to communicate with her. So he was using all this electrical engineering knowledge to try to communicate with his dead teenage daughter. So.
And I'm sure that's very common. It's not, hey, a mysterious sound, I don't know what it is. Isn't a lot of what you do and a lot of people who contact you, people who are looking for ghosts, hoping for ghosts, reaching out because, for whatever reason, they can't let go?
Yeah, you know, we'll go with people that own homes. You know, they're having experiences, not necessarily always scared of it, but they're curious of what it is. And like Brad said, am I crazy? Am I seeing things? A lot of times you have these family feuds going on. Well, the husband and wife, the husband thinks the wife's crazy, and there's big turmoil and going. We come in and actually confirm or validate that she's not crazy, that this stuff is real. The buildings we do, the history, a lot of times they just want to verify history. And you see over the season two, we find some evidence that actually has historical value. You saw that on Gettysburg when we found the name Private John Riley. Well, that guy turned out to be a real dude. He's like, there's a real Private John Riley. He was in the regiment that came by that place we were investigating, Fairfield Inn. And it was like, when that happened, we were blown away that that's actually a real guy in the Battle of Gettysburg.
So. Yeah, not only that, I mean, we even do investigations for police departments. We have done investigations where police departments will go to a building and things will be happening there at abandoned buildings, and they have to go, you know, to secure it. And they're having all these paranormal experiences, and the cops won't go in there anymore. We'll actually go in there and tell them what's going on. So, you know, this stuff is a lot more common and used by the general public than most people know.
But how often is it really that somebody's just crazy?
We've run into a few nut jobs.
Good question.
It's gotta happen.
They go through an entire screening process. I mean... We have to validate stories and witnesses, and you know, there's lots of things that we do. When we started out, one of the best things to do,
First place I go check when I investigate a house is a medicine cabinet.
Oh,
you know,
interesting.
What kind of drugs are you on? You know?
I was going to say, you were talking about the machinery you use to talk to the supernatural. I have to tell you, meth works great.
It's awesome.
I mean, you can have awesome conversations.
That's
with
season
people.
Three. Yeah.
That's the voice of Brad and Barry Kling, by the way. We're talking about their show, Ghost Lab, airs Thursday nights. Hey, that's tonight at 10 on Discovery. You mentioned the Gettysburg episode. Gettysburg plays a very significant role in kind of your, I don't want to say obsession, but dedication to this kind of work. Brad, tell me about what you saw that day. I guess it's been, 20 years ago now?
Right, 20 years ago, July 6, 1990. I remember the day very well. I was on a family vacation. It was just, I'm the youngest in the family, so I was the last, you know, it was just me and my mom and dad. Went up to Gettysburg and, you know, did the whole Gettysburg thing for a few days. As we were leaving, it was broad daylight and was driving out of town. I look over and I see this group of Union soldiers just walking through a field. Know they're Union because you can see the American flag, you can see a blue regiment flag, mm-hmm. you can see their blue uniforms. So I think they're doing a reenactment. And I tell my dad to pull the truck over. I jump out with my video camera and actually run up several hundred yards from them and pan across the field, zoom in on them, pan across. I want to get closer. So as I get over here to pan and I turn to start running again, they're gone. And they would have had to move several hundred yards in a split second to be out of my sight. It was literally an open meadow field.
And they just disappeared.
Gone.
Had your parents seen him?
They saw the people that I was chasing after.
So it wasn't just you.
No, it wasn't
just on a sugar high or something like that.
No, it was just it was me. It wasn't just me. But that moment, and when I look back at the video,
did you get any on tape?
I got them.
You did.
I got them full blown color. Yes, everything.
Full color.
And
they
actually see it. Yeah. They show it on our first episode in the very beginning. They show
the
whole thing.
Something else. And now, what do the Gettysburg people say? The people who work there every day.
Have they
seen it also?
Ironically, and I'm in the ironic is probably not the right words to use, but they have numerous reports of people seeing these ghost regiments that mm-hmm. I didn't know about until later.
Yeah.
But another thing that I also found out is that reenactors are not allowed on the actual battlefields themselves. You know, the national park. They have to do their reenactments on the field outside of the town. Mm-hmm. So these guys, you know, if you see guys there,
see
they're not
ghost.
Supposed to be there. And, you know, the fact that they disappeared, I got them on tape. It's my personal proof of the paranormal. And nobody outside of a handful of people, my close friends and Barry, saw that footage up until the time we got the show on Discovery Channel, because it is so real and so unbelievable that it's my personal proof.
Mm-hmm. Barry, where was your head before Brad told you this fantastic story and showed you the video? Is this something you were also interested in and a believer in?
Yeah, I've always been interested and curious, but I was never really a true believer. Had some maybe minor experiences while growing up, but I was down in Miami. I was in the Navy, and they were coming down to see me. And he showed me the tape when he got there. I thought, that's a pretty cool reenactment. I didn't think it was a ghost. Then he told me the story behind the video, and so I was hooked. I mean, there is some stuff to this, and studied it over 20 years and went on ghost tours, stuff like that. But in 2007, Brad said, hey, thinking about forming a team. You want to join up? Let's do this thing. So let's check it out. So I was hooked after our first investigation. We call all sorts of crazy evidence. But I'm still a skeptical believer. I go into investigations. You really got to prove it to me that's
right,
truly paranormal.
Right.
That's how I got.
More question for Brad and Barry Kling before we take a break and come back with more and talk more about Ghost Live, particularly the Lizzie Borden case that I guess is going to be on tonight. And I'm going to ask you, because you guys are experts and you spent a lot of time investigating this, I'm going to ask you for perhaps an opinion. It may call for speculation, but just like with UFOs, why are images of ghosts so fleeting and so difficult to be proved? I want the aliens to come down like they do in Independence Day and hover over the White House where a million people see it at one time rather than one guy out in the field, you know, who you don't know anything about. It seems like it's the same thing with ghosts. So often it's this object moved, or I heard a sound over here, or wait, where are those footsteps coming from? Why isn't it easier? Why isn't it more obvious that they're real?
Our initial response to that is that everything that we base our theories and our beliefs on is energy and the law of conservation of energy. That you can't create it, you can't destroy it, it has to be transferred somewhere. And energy happens in bursts. And since these things behave off of electrical impulses, electromagnetic fields, temperature, humidity, environmental factors, these are simply either flashes in time, if you're dealing with residual stuff, or just, if you have intelligent spirits, it probably takes a lot to try to manifest, and you probably only do it for a split second, just like a light bulb flickering. So when you're dealing with that, if they're powerful enough to manifest long enough to sit down and have a full conversation with you for 5 minutes, then you're dealing with something that we've never seen
before.
You
probably don't want to deal with.
Yeah, we probably don't want to deal with that one.
And also, our name's Everyday Paranormal. It happens every day. Sometimes these things happen, you just don't notice it. That's paranormal.
Sure.
Temperature fluctuation or EMF spike. You just don't have the stuff to register that. And so you had a paranormal experience, but you never knew it. So it is very, very common. People just don't know how to recognize it.
EverydayParanormal.com is the website. The show is called Ghost Lab, airing again tonight on the Discovery Channel at 10 o'clock. Our guests are Brad and Barry Kling. We'll return more with them after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, just in time to get you in the Halloween spirit. There is a new episode of Ghost Lab tonight on the Discovery Channel at 10 o'clock. Our guests are the stars of the show, Brad and Barry Kling, in studio here. You know, guys, we had I can't remember how we got on the topic. We had a caller of The Kevin and Bean Show last week who said that when he was about 11 or 12 years old, he and a friend were doing the dishes, and the friend looked around and saw the guy's cat sitting on a chair in the dining room and said, oh, I didn't know you still had that cat. And the guy whose house it was says, well, no, the cat died 6 months ago. And the other guy said, look. And he turned around and they both saw it. And then the mom came into the room and the mom saw the cat. All three of them were looking at this cat just sitting in the chair like he always had the whole time he was alive. And then the cat jumped down and ran out of the room. They didn't see him again. Weird story. Do you run into animals in your ghost lab work as well?
I never thought of that.
Yeah, definitely. We have family pets have been seen, horses, horse-drawn carriages, stuff like that, sounds of animals. The animals are no exception, I guess.
They go through the same laws. I would almost think that animals are more residual because they have energy too, mm-hmm. and that's where it's based on. So if humans can imprint on the environment, so can animals. And not necessarily that say that they're intelligent, they can walk up and, go around your leg and mm-hmm. do all that kind of stuff, but definitely it's possible to see them.
Because a lot of people have guessed about the ghosts, think that sometimes it's, unfinished business or trying to communicate with the other side, and you don't expect that from an animal, that your dog has to come back and tell you something,
Right, and in the nature of residual hauntings, you can't control it. It just happens, and it doesn't know it's there. It's not intelligent. It's just it's a replay in the
room.
Is
it? I mean, is haunting about unfinished business, in your opinion? Is it about anger or tragedy, or it could it just be?
Most times it's due to some tragic event. We think it's because of that, because that someone's energy is the highest, so you tragically died all of a sudden. You know, you're full of life, your energy's there. That's why these hauntings are more common. Mm-hmm. To say grandma had cancer for 10 years and passed away peacefully. Sometimes right. You see those, but a lot of times it's more of the tragic events that you see. And we think it's because the energy was so high when they passed away. That's what make that more powerful imprint on the environment.
Okay. Do you guys get, because of the nature of your work, and obviously you take it very seriously and believe in it, but do you get a lot of haters, a lot of people who are just pure science guys who say, no, you're wrong, it's
or religious it's, people, maybe.
Religious, or that it's irresponsible to propagate these myths and blah, 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 blah. And if so, what do you say to them?
You haven't seen what I've seen, and you're not going to convince me otherwise that, you know, I know what I'm talking about. And to skeptics, I really don't care. I, you know, we always say we don't give a crap about what a skeptic thinks, because, you know, we're just out there not to prove them wrong. We're not out there to prove believers right. It's just we get what we get. We analyze it to the best of our abilities, and we show it to you, and you make your own, you know, draw your own conclusions.
Let me ask you about. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, does Hollywood sometimes kind of taint the public's image of what you guys do? And
yeah,
the
Hollywood
idea of the supernatural.
You see all the movies; it's all evil and scary and creepy, but you know, it's
and
not
usually
really like
very
that.
Violent. Like they can actually hurt people and
right
stretch them out and stuff.
Yeah, unfortunately, people go watch a 2-hour movie and all they get in the end is a little tiny voice that says something. That's not going to draw people to the box office.
Right. Right.
But you know, with true paranormal investigation, we'll be at every location we're at for 3 days. We work 16, 17 hours a day investigating and interviewing and everything else. And we might come away with some just a little tiny thing. And that's just the nature of the game.
Some people may remember the story of Lizzie Borden because there's a little childhood rhyme that a lot of kids learn when they're growing up.
Right.
She was in New England about what year and was convicted, right, of killing her parents?
Yeah, it was in the 1890s.
Actually, she was not found guilty. Not guilty. She was acquitted.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, That's the premise of the show tonight. We actually we do something a little crazy now. We actually brought in a prosecuting attorney and actually put Lizzie Borden on trial. And he went over the transcripts, thousands of pages, and found out things that maybe were not mentioned in the trial, things that really point that she did it. She got away with murder. And this guy comes in and just really put her on trial, talking to the parents that she killed, talking to her. And we got some evidence that actually lends itself to the murders.
Yeah, we did interrogations, good cop, bad cop. I mean, we came in and we got something that could point to motive. And even the attorney was like, man, if we had this stuff available, you know, back then, you know, who knows what would
have
happened.
Well, have there been sightings or disturbances where, because you said tours go through that house, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, in fact,
and people have had experiences?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
And that's why we're there, because right. People have had experiences over the years, you know, from seeing things to hearing things to feeling things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you also have to look at a place and say, okay, do they have preconceived notions? Because, you know, this is the Lizzie Borden house
right.
And people were murdered. But we actually we stayed the night there. And, you know, that was scary in itself. Just
you still get
scared. I slept
scared.
In Lizzie Borden's bed and just looked over and saw her portrait on the wall next to me. I slept in the bedroom.
I'll tell you an animal story. I was sleeping in the bed where the mother was killed. Just on the floor beside the bed is where she was killed by the axe. And it was early morning, about 9 in the morning. I felt something jump in the bed with me.
Oh.
My back was to the wall. And I slowly turned over, and there's this black cat just staring me in the face. I was like, oh, my God.
But it was real.
It was real.
It was real. It was real. Okay.
I was like, holy.
Because
you're already on edge. But, no, we did find some really cool stuff in there. And, you know, we try to make these things logical.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that and that's what people appreciate. And there's a lot of skeptics out there who actually appreciate our show because we go that further step and just don't say, hey, I caught a photo. We actually try to figure out why. Not to disprove it, but to prove
and
that paranormal exists.
We use a lot of experts, you know, engineering people, NASA scientists. And we get these people and send our evidence to them to see if they can figure it out. And a lot of times
like,
they can't figure it
reason?
Out. Right.
Right.
Well, it looks like a terrific second season of Ghost Lab on the Discovery Channel. Upcoming episodes include Facing Down the Ghost of Wild Bill Hickok in Deadwood. That's South Dakota, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And also, I wish we had more time to talk about it maybe another time, but you also investigate shipwrecks in Lake Superior. Does that include my beloved Edmund Fitzgerald? Is that one you actually did some work on as well?
Unfortunately, we talk about it in the museum part, but the Edmund Fitzgerald is in about 550 feet of water. Mm-hmm. They actually have the suit in the museum of what they use to go down and check it out. But we actually went out on a shipwreck called the Myron. It's about 50 feet of water. Had a dive team. We had remote control submersibles. We had microphones underwater. We had all of our equipment. They took it underwater for us.
And these divers actually had experience. It's like we were out there because people who dove the wreck had paranormal experiences. So what's the best way to investigate a shipwreck? We did the best we could, and we actually caught some things that these guys were like, wow.
Fascinating.
I've never seen this stuff.
A sunken ship is one of the scariest images a human can encounter. Just being underwater.
Oh, it's cool. They have over 200 shipwrecks out there, and they still have some with the skeletons.
Yeah.
In the bodies. That is
because they consider it
their
grave. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Now, they have a wedding ring in that shipwreck museum that came off the finger of a skeleton.
Oh, wow.
It's like just like you see in the movies. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I can't
wait
for that episode. It sounds great. You can check out everydayparanormal.com for part of what the boys are doing. And, of course, go to the Discovery website, where I guess you can also watch episodes that have already aired, too, on the website as well. The show is called Ghost Lab. It airs Thursday nights at 10, and that includes tonight with the Lizzie Borden episode. Brad, Barry, thanks for coming on the Kevin DeBean Show, man. We enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. You are listening to the Kevin DeBean Show. We've got a 24-hour-a-day voicemail set up just for you to call anytime you want at 323-520-AFRO. You call, leave a message on any topic, we play it back. I appreciate all the love I've been getting on the Afro line lately. Like this guy, obviously a big fan of mine.
Hey, Bean, tell me more about that. Actually, shut up.
I agree.
Just trying to help. Just trying to entertain and educate. Come on, what's wrong with that? We talked a couple of days ago about what a fan I am of drinking the cough syrup and the cough lozenges, too. I like the lozenges as much. And got some good calls on that, including this one.
Sippin' on scissor, bruh. Bam,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Dippin' on some scissors. Dippin' on some scissors.
I am practically in the 3-6 mafia. Let's face it.
I like to drink the scissor.
I love scissor. I'm excited to maybe try the Four Loke.
And here's another one from one of my brothers who also is into self medication.
So I'm eating one of these cherry Halls right now, and I've got to be honest, Bean, this stuff tastes like.
How dare you? Mumford & Sons, very popular band. We've been playing a lot here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Their song is called Little Lion Man. In fact, I love it. I love the whole album. And we're going to be playing the song coming up next. This guy, I think, is very much looking forward to hearing it.
What the f*** are you guys playing? Banjos? I wake up to banjos in the morning. I want to hear banjos and my rock music. Mumford & Sons can suck my and you guys can get the off the air.
Wow.
That's some hate.
Ralph Garman is live today at Universal Studios Hollywood. He's going to be down there for the duration of the Kevin and Bean Show, giving out prizes for everyone who stops by to donate blood. We do it every year. It's the Bleed It Out Blood Drive. And by the way, Ralph, we haven't mentioned this, but critical shortage. One of the worst shortages in history right now for blood. Am I right? They really, really need help.
Yes.
Yeah, we're just talking about that. They're not quite sure why, but there is a real dire need for blood right now. They think maybe it's the economy. You know, people have bigger worries because they're wondering where the next paycheck's coming from or how they're going to pay their mortgage. So maybe doing a good deed isn't the first thing on their mind, but they definitely need donors. So please come down and give some blood.
It is amazing in a town, a city the size of Los Angeles, an area the size of Southern California. No joke. They really do have to import blood from other cities around the country because there's just not enough donated.
Imported blood just doesn't taste as good. I like the domestic blood myself.
I donate, but I've already donated too much blood on the fields of Vietnam!
we do want to thank Universal Studios Hollywood for having us down there again. We appreciate their help every year when we do this. And speaking of Universal, of course, they also have the Halloween Horror Nights going on. I think that's what this call's about.
So last weekend I went to Universal Studios Hollywood for the Horror Nights, and I was walking behind one of these monsters, and I swear to you, I heard his evil, evil scream. It went like this.
Very scary. Very scary. Here's a call. I think this guy's on board with Omar. Every week he does the Glee Cap, where he talks about how much he hates the popular Fox show called Glee, which, by the way, highest ratings ever again this week with the Rocky Horror episode. Huge, huge episode. And this guy, I think, is on board with that.
Omar, I have a new Glee song for you.
Glee sucks. Glee sucks. You know, I live in Sweden. I haven't even seen Glee, and I already hate it. Glee sucks.
Lives in Sweden.
How crazy is that, right?
He's calling from Sweden to leave a message.
Halloween Spooks is our favorite song this time of year. We can't get enough of it. And ever since we started playing that, there's no end to the parodies. Now, I don't know why in 2010 this very creative Kevin Bean Lister decided it was time to make Charlton Heston Spooks, but listen up.
Charlton Heston. Omega Man is going to happen. Soylent Green is really made of people. It's Charlton Heston outside my window. Charlton Heston behind the trees. I wish that you could see to take your damn dirty paws off of me. And it's Charlton Heston outside my window pane. Damn you, Ralph, you bastard!
Come on, that's pretty good,
it
right?
Is.
That may have come from the fact that Kevin Smith and I on our podcast this week went to a lengthy Charlton Heston conversation where he stopped by with his notorious,
Now so we know.
That may have spurred that caller into action.
323-520-AFRO. That is the number anytime you want to leave a message on the Kevin Bean Afro line. Tobin Bell from the Saw franchise with a new movie coming out this weekend. He joins us in about 15 minutes. Ralph's got the showbiz beat next right after this on the Kevin.
He wanted more banjo.
That's what he was asking for, was more banjo in the Mumford & Sons song, right? You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ, 756. Tobin Bell from the Saw movies. And Ralph was just coming during the song there. He died how long ago, Ralph?
I think three or four movies ago he right. died in the movies. And yet he keeps showing up.
He is back in Saw 3D, opening everywhere tomorrow. We will talk to Mr. Bell coming up next on the Kevin Bean Show. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's happening?
Speaking of Saw, I am down here at Universal Studios with our Bleed It Out blood drive. People are showing up all morning long to give blood, which is a great thing. And it is brought to you by Saw 3D. So I want to thank the people at Universal for giving this opportunity to do a very cool thing for some people who desperately need some blood. So this is very cool. And they've got they're showing all the Saw movies in sequence all morning long here. So now I'm on Saw 2.
Oh, cool.
And it is honking scary.
Yeah. That's what you want to see, by the way, at 8 o'clock in the morning.
While you're about to be opened up with an email.
Watching a lot of people give blood non-voluntarily, involuntarily, as it were, instead of voluntarily. Let's take a look at the show. Well, she's a talented young lady, let's put it that way.
Okay.
And we were saying this morning that Charlie, it looks like, is going to walk away scot-free from this event. In case you hadn't heard, he was at the Plaza Hotel on Tuesday morning with this porn star. He went ballistic, started breaking up the suite. Security was called. They found him drunk and coked up. She was had locked herself in the bathroom while he started destroying the hotel room. She was the one who called security. And now, breaking news from TMZ, apparently Capri Anderson has got herself a lawyer.
Pam Anderson?
No, Capri Anderson. And she is going to be looking to talk to the Colorado prosecutors and have them violate Charlie's probation on the grounds that he allegedly held her against her will in the hotel room.
It's very rare for a hooker to complain about anything that goes on inside a hotel room that she voluntarily goes there to get paid to do.
Yeah, but when he started going crazy, she had to lock herself in the bathroom. And then, according to Anderson, he tried to bust the door down and get to her, repeatedly punching the door while she was locked inside. She alleges she was afraid for her life.
Jesus.
And she told the Pitkin County DA, those are the people in Colorado, that she wants Charlie's probation violated from his domestic violence case. And she plans to fly to Aspen in the next few days to make her case to the Pitkin County DA office.
Hello.
Apparently she also is keeping her own legal options open regarding whether she will file charges in New York City and perhaps even sue Charlie for holding her against her will. So,
wow.
Charlie may not be out of the woods yet. We'll have to wait and see. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Annie Potts of Designing Women and Ghostbusters fame. She is 58 years old today. Lauren Holly turns 47. Julia Roberts turns 43 years old. Ben Harper celebrates his 41st birthday. Joaquin Phoenix is 36. Justin Guarini, who you may remember as the very first runner-up from American Idol to Kelly Clarkson, he's 32. David Turrillo from Plain White Tees is 31. Andy Richter celebrates his 44th birthday. And Dennis Franz is 66 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Can't stop the spirits when they need you. This life is more than just a read-through.
Anthony Kiedis of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, you still like singing that one? Is that still one of your favorites?
Well, mostly I like it because smackada bong dong waggada dang dang waggada ding bong diggadoo.
That's what I thought. It's the world famous K-Rock. It is 808. You are listening to the Kevin Amin Show. Ralph Garman out of studio today down at Universal Studios Hollywood. It's the Bleeded Out to Blood Drive. Ralph, sounds like a lot of action, a lot of people showing up now. Sounds
very
busy
down
there. Yeah,
now we're starting to pick up some steam. You know, obviously people getting up early start off a little slowly, but now we're starting to fill up. But there's plenty of stations here to give blood, plenty of room. So don't be deterred. Come on down here, park at the Frankenstein lot, and come up to the Globe Theater and give some blood.
And park for free, too. Where are you in watching all the Saw movies in order? What's going on the screen right now? You're on Saw 2.
Yeah, we're here. We're in the theater, and they've got the giant screen up. Of course, Saw 3D is the sponsor of our blood drive, so we appreciate Universal for making that happen. And on the big screen, they're showing all of the Saw movies in order. So we've already seen the first Saw this morning with Carrie Elwes. Now we got Donnie Wahlberg up on the screen watching Saw 2. And I got to tell you something, Tobin Bell does not look healthy. He looks like he might be a little sick in this one.
Well, the new one, the seventh in the series, one of the most successful horror franchises of all time, comes out tomorrow. It is called Saw 3D. Listen up.
I want to play a game. Since the beginning, you have watched others suffer. Now it is your turn to play. Game over. The last piece of the puzzle is you.
I don't like the sound of that at all. By the way, it's not Halloween anymore without a Saw movie. I mean, officially, if they do end the movies as they're claiming this is the final chapter, what are we going to do? We're just going to all sit around being so sad next year, right?
That's fair.
It's not fair. Tobin Bell, our yearly visit with Jigsaw from the Saw movies. He joins us on the phone on the Kevin Amin Show right now. Mr. Bell, how are you, my friend?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for
having me. Always great to have you on. Saw 3D. Tell me about being in 3D this time around. What's that like for you as the actor?
It's amazing. I was a little concerned that it would be somehow distracting in some way from doing the work, but it wasn't at all. It's come a long way since 3D was invented in the early days, and it's a really easy medium to work in. Sometimes the setups are a little longer between shots, but except for that, it's about the same.
And does it blow you? I mean, it looks the same to you while you're on set filming it, but then once you get to see it in the film and you see how effectively it can be used, I imagine it must be so much fun to see what it looks like.
Oh, it's amazing. I saw the film 4 days ago, and I was sitting with a Lionsgate executive in this big theater, and he kept saying this next scene, because he had seen it, he said this next scene is overwhelming, and he told me that like five times, and he was right every time. I had to hold on to my seat. It was really amazing, but it's more than just the kind of reaching out into the audience that you expect from a 3D movie. The technology is so good that even moving through a room, the stuff that's on a shelf, for example, comes reaching out at you, and it's cool. Just a very delicate and very rich way to shoot a movie.
Is there any character in film history who planned ahead better for his own death by leaving more things behind for folks to discover after he was gone than Jigsaw?
He's definitely a psychic of some sort. I mean, he looks in down the road. He made some very specific plans before he passed on from these films, and those plans are being carried out.
More tape than Tupac, I have to say. I think he's actually eclipsed Tupac in terms of tapes. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, he's very, there's a scene, and I think it's in Saw 4, where you actually see him sitting in front of a reel-to-reel working these tapes, which I imagine he transfers them to these small little recorders that he has.
Right. How tough was it for the writers, the cast and crew and everything to come up with new, great ways to torture and kill people? Because, let's face it, you guys have run the gamut pretty much over the first six movies.
It's amazing. You know, I mean, they have a year in between these films, and they're these scenic designers and special effects guys who sit around and they come up with these traps that they just boggle the mind in terms of the extent to which they're willing to go to push the envelope. And that's one of the things that Saw fans love about these films and are going to love about 3D. You know, it's a perfect marriage, a Saw film with that technology.
You had been an actor for a long time before you got cast in this role for the original Saw movie. At the time that you made it, before it came out, did you have any expectation that it was going to end up being received so well and, in fact, turn into a franchise? Or did you just think, hey, this is going to be a nice horror movie for a few people to see someday?
You know, the gag at the end of Saw 1, when the guy rises from the floor, I had never before. I had never seen that gag before, and I thought, wow, if they shoot this well, it's going to be an amazing moment, and they did. So I did it for that moment, and I had not worked with Danny Glover, and I thought that was a great opportunity. So I took it, but I had absolutely no idea, and I don't think anyone else did, that we were going to be seven films down the road here. It was a small little million-dollar budget horror film that two guys from Australia, with a 10-minute short, flew here and shopped it around Hollywood, and they were lucky.
Yeah, and talented, too. We were talking off the air before we brought you on. Now, this is the voice of Tobin Bell, of course, talking about Saw 3D opening everywhere in theaters tomorrow. We were talking about our favorite deaths in the series. Do you have one that stands out as one that you enjoyed maybe as much or more than others?
Favorite death?
Deaths, yeah. Yeah, the way that people get killed.
Well, you know, I frankly don't think that John Kramer enjoys doing what he's doing, a.k.a. Jigsaw, enjoys doing what he's doing. But I can tell you what my favorite trap was. It's a very simple trap called the needle pit in Saw
2.
And I like it because I like the traps that directly connect to the karma of the person, the whatever the life crimes are of the person. And in this case, it was Amanda, who is a junkie, and in order to extricate herself from the situation she was in, she had to crawl through this needle pit, which she was absolutely terrified.
That is so the type of scene in a movie, though, that for many people never leaves you. You never forget what that would be, what happened in the film, and what it would feel like to actually be thrown into a pit of hypodermic needles. I mean, that's just something you can't get out of your head, and that's the mark of a classic movie franchise.
Yeah, and it's simple. You know, sometimes the simplest things are the things that we all of us imagine and have access to. Well, I think most of us have been scared of needles since we were, you know, going to the pediatrician anyway.
If you go to KevinAbean.com right now, by the way, you can see the official trailer for Saw 3D. We've got that up on the site. And then, I don't know, Tobin, if you've had a chance to see it or not, but our friends over at MoviePhone put together a mashup of every death from the first six movies. Have you seen that yet?
I haven't seen it, no. That's amazing. There's no accounting for the time that people have on their hands.
Yeah, I mean, it really is incredible. And obviously, we warn you if you go that it has spoilers if you haven't seen some of those movies, as well as extreme violence and gore. But hey, that's why we like the Saw. But those are both up at KevinAbean.com. All right, I hate to ask you this because I know this movie hasn't even opened yet, but they do say final chapter. Do you believe them this time?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fitting way to end it. You know, I got to take the guys at their word that it's the final go around. So I'm accepting that and moving on to some of the thousands of other characters that are out there that I'd like to jump into the shoes of.
Well, you're an all-time horror movie classic because of playing Jigsaw in the movie, and I know you're a terrific actor. I've seen you do other things, but, man, it's so great to have something like that on your resume that you know people are going to be watching forever and ever. So congratulations on the whole thing, and especially good luck for Saw 3D this weekend, Tobin. Thank you.
Thanks so much. It's great talking to you guys, as always.
Hey.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Doctor Not Included, coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 106.7 KROQ at 8:26. We're running out of time, you guys. We're running out of days.
Yes.
We're running out of hours. Yeah.
Crank it up.
Not too many times we still have to play the Halloween spooks.
Halloween, Halloween, Halloween.
On the Halloween spooks. I'm
taking Kevin's place. I hate this.
Are you kidding?
It's awesome, and I'm PO'd that Bean doesn't play the whole thing. He always cuts it off.
There's nothing awesome about it. It's terrible.
Ghosts.
It's funny because since we started playing Halloween spooks, and it has become the Halloween tradition here on the Kevin and Bean Show, believe it or not, we do get a lot of love for it. I know there are some people who hate it. But because it annoyed Kevin so much, we then thought it would be really funny to start doing other holidays for Halloween spooks too. And that's where our man Omar came in, because it wasn't enough to annoy Kevin just once a year. Now we annoy him every time there's a holiday.
Turkey things are gonna happen.
And by the way, Omar is your guy who records all of those. Yeah. Turkey things are gonna happen.
Now this I like. Yeah. These I like. Yeah.
So every holiday we've got to do it. Let's see what this one is.
Groundhog Day. Winter predictions are gonna happen.
Oh, come on. Winter prediction things, dude.
Winter predictions are going to happen.
With that voice, everything sounds good. Yeah, though, right? You know?
Omar's the worst singer in the world, yet he sings everything for us.
Leap year. One extra day is going to happen.
I forgot I did that one.
I know. I was going through these last night, and I was thinking, I forgot how many there were, and some of them we haven't heard, you know, since the first year we did them, I think.
Cinco de Mayo, Cinco de Mayo, oh Cinco de Mayo. Lowrider Raider things are gonna happen.
Lowrider Raider things?
Yeah,
wow.
Cinco de Mayo in L.A., dude.
Oh, Omar's awful.
All right, now, this one wasn't even a holiday. I think you're going to be surprised that this song even exists.
Psycho Mike's birthday. Arrogant things are gonna happen.
Every once in a while, there's something that comes along that we love so much that we insist that a song get made.
Megan Fox. Big bulgy things are going to happen.
All right. See? So we got big bulgy things. All right. I don't even remember this one. Flipping through our spooks library here today.
Beijing Olympic Games. Track and field, gymnastics, swimming things are gonna happen. There should be more.
Is that trying, Omar? Is that trying?
He did get a little sloppy towards the end of his career.
I don't mean this as a hyperbole. I've never seen Omar laugh harder than he is right now. Awesome. He's on the floor.
And by the way, and then once Omar kind of got everybody used to the fact that there have to be a spook song for everything, then the listeners started chiming in. And then you think the quality was bad in Omar's studio. Wait to hear what the listeners are coming up with on the Afro line.
Yeah.
And there was this one.
Big booty bitches outside my window. Yeah. Big booty bitches behind the tree.
Remember Big Booty Bitches? That was our favorite song for a while. Even up to, as a matter of fact, we just got this one in the last week, I believe.
Oh, shuck it on. Incoherent things are gonna happen.
And I think this is perhaps my favorite of the new ones from the listeners.
Woody, outside my window. Woody, beyond the trees.
Come on. Yeah. Nothing like holiday music. Awesome. Well done, my friend. I don't care how much they try to tell us that What I Got rhymes with riot, but it just doesn't, guys.
That's crap.
It's just a fake.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to 106.7 K-Rock KRQ, the world-famous K-Rock. In fact, it is 8:38. Thursdays are very special on the Kevin and Bean Show because we welcome our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky onto the program. Hey, Doc, how are you, man?
Good morning, Bean. How are you?
It's actually awesome. We have Dr. Drew every Thursday, Adam Carolla every Friday. So it's nice to keep in touch with the Loveline crew back when it was good, before you went so seriously downhill with the latest co-host.
Wow. That's the gauntlet is down.
You see how different it is for me here, Dr. Drew?
It's really rough for you. My
Mike, but, you know, we did have an interesting experience with Mike earlier this week. I'm sure he regaled you with those stories.
He couldn't tell us much. We can't talk about it much on the air.
On the air, yeah.
Off the air, he told us that it involved him wearing some sort of goggles and a snorkel and then laying on the ground, and then some other people came in and did some other things.
Don't forget a bikini. He's actually
and a bikini, yes.
Yeah. And, yeah, you have to check out lovelineshow.com if you want to find out what he did. It was in the name of science, mind you. I really thought it was quite a bold move in the name of science. But personally, I had to excuse myself from the room and practically the building.
And I love that, by the way, because you've got a reputation and you need to be taken seriously. So you said, I can't be a part of this. I'm going to leave. But tell me you didn't just go into the next room and press your nose up against the glass so you could still see it.
No, I didn't. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, what am I doing? I lift this up to Mike. People are going to blame me for this. People are going to want me to have controlled this. And I just can't. But anyway.
It turned out that happened, too, by the way. Yeah, Dr. Drew's been getting a lot of, how could you allow him to do things
I'm
like this?
I'm sure this won't be the last time.
You guys work with Mike. Is that possible for me to control?
No.
Yeah.
Just get out of the way.
Couple things that we have discussed this week on the Kevin and Bean Show that we need your take on, good doctor. Number one, Harvey Levin was on yesterday. We were talking about this terribly tragic Charlie Sheen case, although it's hard to feel sorry for the guy because he seems to invite this kind of trouble. He seems to do everything he can to make sure he stays as effed up as possible for as long as possible. Harvey said he is apparently a functioning drug addict, whereas if you went down to the set of Two and a Half Men right now, they would say, guy's always on time, guy's always prepared, knows his lines, turns in a great performance, and goes home and does whatever he wants. You know, that's pretty uncommon, though, that somebody's able to do this kind of drugs for this long and still work, right?
Well, for this long, I would say yes, but it's very common for people to go long periods of time without having, particularly for men, work is usually the last place that breaks down, interestingly. Their relationships fall apart, their social lives are impaired, their financial lives, their legal situations, but work is usually the last place. So that is not so unusual, but he's been doing a lot of drugs for a long time, apparently, or allegedly. Mm-hmm. And my concern is that doesn't the employer at a certain point have a responsibility to go, you know, this guy's got a life-threatening illness he's not taking care of. I mean, if you were a John Q employee or you were a student, they would want a letter from a doctor saying, you know, it's safe for you to return to work, or, you know, he is, you know, you're not contributing to his demise in some way by allowing him to continue working.
Right.
And unfortunately, you know, this is really a serious thing now, and it continues to get worse, of course. He knows what to do, Charlie. I mean, he's apparently, you know, everyone loves the guy, and apparently he's had some good sobriety in the past. The problem is he's just not doing it. And when it progresses to this point, boy, it takes months and months of treatment. So he would have to get out of work, focus on his recovery for an extended period of time.
Not only does CBS not seem to be asking him to do all of that you describe, but they seem to be just saying, look, we're going to continue to throw as much money at you as possible so that you can continue to make us millions of dollars in Two and a Half Men. I mean, he's the highest paid actor on television.
It's that sinister, Bean. I think it's probably more the way his relationship with the organization. He's probably an independent contractor. The fact is they probably have no legal right to make him sit out of work unless he's not functioning at work or endangering herself or somebody there at work. And, you know, other than that, he's free to do what he wants to do. But the interesting thing is I'm hearing that he actually got some treatment after the domestic violence situation, but clearly doing it with work is not enough. And whenever someone takes a sort of lower level of care and yet continues to progress and have problems, they have to have a higher level of care or things will get worse. That's just always the way it is. So what we're going to see is he's either going to get – it's like Lindsay. He's either going to get treatment or he's going to get worse.
There's not a possibility that he can just keep going the way he's going for years and years and years?
Well, of course there is that possibility. I mean, he's managed to pull that off so far, but – it's not going to go on for indefinitely. It is a progressive condition, and it is a potentially fatal condition. So, yes, while it may go on for a while, it is going to get worse.
We are talking to Dr. Drew Pinsky, as we do every Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, you've seen him on the Teen Mom Show on MTV and all of its various incarnations. OK Magazine has a cover story. Apparently, it's true, Dr. Drew. Amber has lost baby Leah. What happened?
I don't know. I've not had any contact with Amber or Gary, but I know, you know, Child Protective Services and local law enforcement, and she has a psychiatrist and a therapist. I mean, the organizations have been involved in Amber and Gary's life for a long time. I mean, you don't see that on TV, but you know, those kinds of phenomenon that you witness on the show don't occur without proper social agencies getting involved. So what must have happened, and I have no direct knowledge of this, is things must have gotten worse again, and they must have placed the child as a result. It's very sad. Amber needs, you know, Amber's trying. She really is. She's a trauma survivor herself, as is Gary. so naturally they recreate the trauma in their own families, and now the social agencies are going to force her to do some work.
And one of the reasons this show has been so popular, and I know one of the reasons you've been involved in it, is because it's important to show these kinds of stories of, that are actually happening in probably millions of households across the country.
That's right. I mean, you're actually watching four lives unravel because of teen pregnancy. And everyone's concerned that somehow this show is glamorizing teen pregnancy, but the National Campaign to End Teen Pregnancy has gone out and done formal studies now to see the impact, to measure the impact of this show. And thus far, at least, it looks very good, as though it's really awakening young people to the realities of teen pregnancy and actually having an impact on their willingness to delay sexual contact and things like that.
All right, one more question for Dr. Drew. I took a lot of heat from the guys this week when it was revealed that I enjoy the taste of cough syrup, and even when I'm not sick sometimes, I'll pull it out of the pantry and take a swig. Is there anything wrong with that?
I got to say, Bean, I heard that yesterday, and I almost called in. I almost jumped out of my car.
Yes.
For multiple reasons. One is I almost threw up with the idea of taking cough syrup for any reason other than being ill. And then the guy that called in, too, was he was a DXM addict. The guy, remember the guy that called in said he drank it every day?
Oh, yeah. Yep. And said, yep, you can't buy three at a time.
Right. That's exactly what he said. But here's the deal. First of all, there's DXM with opiate, with codeine, with Vicodin, that kind of thing, with dextromethorphan, with codeine. That's a hardcore drug. People get addicted to that. You guys were talking about that drink, the mix with Sprite.
Scissor.
That's usually with opiates, and that's drug addict. That's drug addiction. But DXM is something, or dextromethorphan, is something kids are using a lot in an abuse situation, and it can really be dangerous. You have to take quite a bit to get the dissociative state, but it's kind of, when you take enough, it's kind of like, I don't want to say, because it's alluring to some people, but it's not good. It makes people very high.
So I need to start drinking more of it, what you're telling me.
If you want to know why Bean is the way he is, just look for the...
Well, he says it doesn't affect him at all. It's just the taste.
I just like
is
the
that
taste.
Possible?
It is possible if you take small amounts. Yeah, you have to take quite a bit to get the intoxicating effects.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not...
Because I get woozy on
NyQuil. I'm not buying a six-pack of NyQuil, and, you know...
NyQuil is different. NyQuil's got a bunch of alcohol in it.
So isn't that what you use as NyQuil, Bean?
Yeah, it's NyQuil.
Oh, well, there you go. So he's just alcoholic. So
exactly.
All right. Well, I did not expect when I woke up today that I would be diagnosed as an alcoholic by an addiction specialist, but I guess that is what happened. Dr. Drew Pinsky, the co-host of Loveline with our own Psycho Mike, 5 nights a week. Check your local listings. And don't forget, the all-new Celebrity Rehab premieres Wednesday, December 1st at 10 on VH1. Doc, have a great week, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
Speaking of the Lincoln Park, today is the K-Rock Bleed Out Blood Drive going on in the Universal Studios Hollywood right now. Our man Ralph Garman is live on the scene. Stop on by. Park for free, give blood, get a prize. That's how that works. Details at krock.com. 8:55 on the Kevin and Bean Show. We got a real life professional hockey player coming up on the show.
Oh, that's good, eh? That's going to be good, eh? Talking about the puck and the sticks, eh?
George Perros from the Anaheim Ducks is going to be joining us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, they're time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Hey, speaking of Halloween, also, if you come down Saturday night to the Smod Castle Theater, where Kevin Smith and I do our live podcast every week. It's this Saturday night at 7 o'clock. We're going to be doing the show in our Halloween costumes. And also, I promise a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup for everybody who shows up. So it'll be trick-or-treat.
Look at that.
And you don't have to be like a kid or anything. I'll give candy even to older people, although usually I don't. You can go to smodcastle.com for tickets. You can buy them there. Come on down. We're going to have a blast. It is great news that Charlie Sheen did what he did, because for entertainment reporters, it's just a gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
Great news, breaking news on TMZ.com. Charlie Sheen is a better guy than we ever could have possibly imagined. We know he has affinity for whores and porn stars, and he likes to booze and get coked up and destroy hotel rooms and keep porn stars trapped in the bathroom and pound on the door and scare the crap out of them. We found out this morning that Capri Anderson, the porn star that he was partying with Tuesday morning when the cops had to show up at the hotel room when he was trashing it, she is going to possibly press charges against Charlie for locking her up against her will. She's going to go to the Colorado authorities and request that they violate his probation. He still had 3 days left in his probation for that little event he had at Christmas time with his wife. So that's good news. And then Charlie apparently had dinner with three guys and five women before he went back to the hotel with this woman. And he invited his ex-wife, Denise, the mother of his children, to come to that dinner.
So bizarre.
She showed up.
And they all started having dinner. And this girl, Capri Anderson, went over to Denise and said, Capri Anderson. Well, I'm such a big fan, and let's take some pictures together. So they pose for photos together. Denise sits down, and then it starts to dawn on her that this porn star is actually Charlie's date for the night. She got uncomfortable and left during appetizers, says one witness. But the photos of Denise and this porn star are now up on TMZ.com. You can check them out if you're so inclined.
That's pretty tasty.
He's a nice guy to invite the mom of his children and his new porn star hookup for
sure.
Dinner. He's a giver. He's a lover, not a fighter. Billy Ray Cyrus and his wife Tish are calling it quits after 17 years of wedded bliss. Apparently, it's a difficult time for the family. They say in a statement issued to People magazine, irreconcilable differences. Course, the reason for the split. They have 5 children together. Apparently, there was a problem in the marriage when they found out that one of their children, a daughter named Miley, was living a double life. Apparently, she was a very popular pop star.
What?
But also was a regular girl, too. She would, like, put a wig on, and then she would, like, have different personalities and everything, and no one had any idea.
That's just bad parenting to not catch up clues on that. Come on.
Jesse James may be headed to the altar for the 4th time with his current girlfriend, Kat Von D.
No, Jesse, please don't.
San Francisco Chronicle reports that Kat is showing off a huge antique ring on her engagement ring finger, and she was at a book signing last Tuesday, and she was showing off the ring, and she was gushing about the Victorian ring that she was wearing. However, she refused to confirm or deny that she's engaged to Jesse, so we'll all take that as a yes, won't we?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be maybe better for him to let it breathe the single life a little bit, maybe before he plunges back into another one?
Bean, you cannot cheat on your wife unless you have a wife.
Well,
there are certain pieces you need to the puzzle.
Yeah, that's true.
Do we need Charlie's Angels back on television?
Nope.
No.
ABC thinks we do. Apparently, they're ready to shoot a pilot for a reboot of the Charlie's Angels TV series. Of course, it was 2 very popular feature films starring Drew Barrymore back in 2000 and 2003. And Drew apparently has signed on as one of the producers for the new TV series.
Oh, great.
So you can expect 3 scantily clad detectives running around your TV screen soon. And I got no problem with that, quite frankly.
Okay.
Look, that I don't think we need it, but that certainly, the premise works. It could be done well. Get the right actresses, right writers, it might be all right.
And don't be fooled if you go on your Facebook today and you see a tease for a Lindsay Lohan 3-way sex tape.
Yeah.
It's been all over Facebook starting last night and today, and everyone's saying don't bite because apparently Lindsay is saying there is no sex tape, and people are speculating that the link that it sends you to is actually a virus that will hunk up your computer. So don't bite. Don't go for it.
Because it's on Facebook doesn't make it right.
That's what I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthdays, Annie Potts is 58 years old today. She, of course, the star of Designing Women, the TV series, for many years. Also in the Ghostbusters film, she's 58. Lauren Holly, former Mrs. Drew, not Drew Carey, that'd be weird, Jim Carey. She's 47 years old. Ben Harper is 41. Joaquin Phoenix is 36. Justin Guarini celebrates his 32nd birthday. Dave Turillo of Plain White Tees is 31. Andy Richter is 44 years old today. Julia Roberts celebrates her 43rd birthday. And a guy I've had the pleasure to work with on several occasions on NYPD Blue, a great guy named Dennis Franz, who played Sipowicz on that show for its entire run. A great actor and a very nice dude. He is 66 years old today. And I can't help but think of Dennis Franz, but think of the interview that Kevin had with him on the red carpet. It seems like just yesterday when he asked him this very probing question.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
When you were coming up, the first, we said, what should we ask Dennis Franz?
What?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
NYPD Blue coming up
for
sure.
I hope not. Now, Mike, when I started that, why would you continue to let yours play instead of dumping it? Why?
Because you also have to remember, I first started it, and you're on delay. So in your head, that's
but
not
my
what you
point
hear.
Is, I rule, okay? If there's a push, it defers to me.
Yeah.
Give up at some point. Pull out. Jesus Christ. Would you have let that gone on for an hour?
I have the moment with. You just have the raw audio.
Right, which we play every single time we talk about Dennis Franz at his birthday.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm just saying, at some point, go, wow, I need to stop playing my audio because Bean is already playing audio.
All right.
At some point, figure that out on your own.
You can't just be pretty your whole life. At some point, you got to use that head.
I also thought to myself, at some point, Bean's going to play the audio within 10 seconds of Ralph calling for the clip, so maybe I should just interject with my audio.
Stop it, America.
That's all we're saying. Stop it, America. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show up his beat.
Sounds like an all skate.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like
it's 106.7 KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:12. How old is too old to trick or treat? How do you handle it when you've got a 19-year-old showing up in or out of costume at your door? Do you still give them candy? That is going to be the discussion on the table in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, let's talk some hockey. It's the most exciting time of the year. Hockey and basketball are both back, and we're very excited to welcome George Parros from your Anaheim Ducks. Number 16 on the ice cycle, Mike. Number one in your hearts. He joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, George. Welcome, my friend. How are you?
How's it going, guys? Good to see you.
Good.
How's it feel being, 10 games in or whatever it is? You guys working out the kinks and feeling like it's hockey time again?
Yeah, I think that's what we're doing here, working out the kinks. You know, we just got back from the road, so we went 2-2, and we're always happy. You know, at least with 500 on the road, we'd like to be better, but we'll take it for now.
Sure. It is so funny. I mean, there's something about sports, and I can't explain it. Maybe you, the athlete, can't even explain it, too. But, you know, I get up and come in, and I do my job, and it's about the same every day. But it's so wildly different in sports, and sometimes it's something out of your reach or out of your imagination. You just can't figure out why everything sometimes is going great. And then sometimes it seems like no matter what you do, it doesn't go the way you want. And who can figure it out?
It's true. There's so many intangibles. I mean, there's, confidence is a huge thing, and you can't measure that or grab a hold of it. You don't know when it's going to come and go, and momentum and just all sorts of things. So you never really know what you're going to get. You have the same or relatively same lineup most of the year, and you think it'd be an even keel, but it's not.
How's your buddy Matt Bolesky? He got hit pretty hard the other night in the Dallas game.
Yeah, no, he's doing good. He's all right. He was fine afterwards. I mean, a little bit shaken up, and he went in pretty hard, but he'll be okay.
I love that he tweeted after the game, a little bell ringing never hurt anyone. And I guess you just kind of get used to that ringing in your ears when you're playing your sport.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know what he was tweeting exactly, but yeah. Exactly. Little bell ring.
George, I hope you don't mind me bringing you this up. Maybe it's something that you'd rather didn't get talked about. But that was it Sporting News that came out that for some reason decided to rank the smartest athletes playing professional sports. You came in fourth and the smartest hockey player in the league. Was that a surprise to you when they came out with that article?
They asked me to do an interview over the summer, and I didn't really know. They said they're doing top 25, so they just did my interview and went on my way. I told them I'd probably be they'd probably want me off the list after talking to me, but I guess I didn't turn. I thought I didn't end up being number four. Is a bit of a surprise, yeah.
You graduated from Princeton. You majored in economics. Now, for a lot of people, it would be a surprise to them that you ended up being a professional athlete. Not that there's anything wrong with having lots of interests, but a lot of times guys who want to play professional sports, they don't really spend a lot of time cracking the books. What was different about you, George?
Right. Probably just a product of my upbringing, you know. I always did well in school, and I enjoyed it. Going to a private high school in Jersey that really stressed doing well in the classroom, Del Barton School really helped. So probably just, all that. And the fact that, I never really knew if I was going to be playing hockey or not. So always wanted to do well in school first.
Yeah, that makes sense because as much as you want it and as hard as you can try to get into it, I mean, the odds are against any particular player ever making it to the majors, right? It's a dream come true.
Absolutely. And I was never, a highly touted, first-round draft pick or anything like that. I kind of always snuck through the cracks, so I just kept doing it until I made my way to the top.
Yeah, interesting. You're one of a few guys who have been on both sides of the Southern California area. Is it very different playing for the Kings versus playing for the Ducks in terms of the fans or in terms of, the way the organization is run?
Both organizations are well run. There's a little bit of difference. I think it's more personal down here. The Samuelis are pretty hands-on. They're very involved in the community, and the Kings have a rabid fan base. They've been around for a long time, so there's differences between the two organizations, but they're both first-class operations.
When you face the Kings now, and I imagine you still got some friends over there, is it any different for you than facing another team maybe that you haven't played for?
It's always interesting playing, guys that but I've been removed from that organization for a few years now, and
right.
they've had some change over there as well. I definitely know most of the guys, but you know, you end up getting to know most of the guys around the league in general. So it's usually not a whole lot different.
Do you talk to guys on the ice when you have the opportunity to during a game? How much of that goes on?
It goes on, depending, you know, on the level of your relationship. I mean, if you know a guy really well, then you're having more jokes than usual. I mean, you know, you always try to keep yourself invested in the game, and if that takes chirping a guy or having some fun with a buddy or whatever, you know, you got to keep it covert. But we have our fun out there.
This is the voice of George Parros on the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way. The Ducks are next in action at home tomorrow night against the New Jersey Devils. You can go to 877-WILD-WING if you want to get tickets, or AnaheimDucks.com. You have been known as an enforcer, George.
Mm-hmm.
How many career penalty minutes are you up to right now, and where does that rank among guys who are playing?
Oh, I don't know. I think I'm around 700 or so, I think. And as far as
that's a lot of time sitting down.
Yeah, you know, I'm well paid. I'm well paid to sit in a little box. Right.
You have to think, hey, I need to do whatever I can to do. I got to be as physical as necessary to make my, you know, to help my team to make it win. But you also have to know in the back of your mind that there's a downside to that, and I guess you kind of have to weigh that in a split second. Is what I'm about to do going to be worth potentially being pulled out of the game?
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's always a, you know, a time to go and a time not, and you know, we have to make those decisions, like you said, pretty quick. So, you know, things happen fast out there, and then, you know, you just kind of rely on your instincts, I guess, and that's what we do.
No one wants to see George Parros coming at him in full speed. I do know that. All right, last question for you. You talked about how there have been a lot of changes in, you know, every organization after a few years goes by. How many guys do you have left on the Ducks that you won the Cup with?
I think there's like six of us. I think there's six of us. I mean, it's, you know, Getzy, Paris, Ryan Carter. Who else?
At least you got a few left. Do the young guys, do they ask you about it? Do they talk to you about what that's like and what's necessary to get to that point and get the Ducks back there?
Well, you know, we try not to dwell on the past. You know, we need to go win the next one. So, you know, We don't sit around the campfire telling stories about it too often, but you know, it'll come up every once in a while, and you share an experience or two.
I'm just surprised there's still a campfire in 2010 in the professional hockey organization. I'll tell you that. That's the beautiful thing. I mean, you know, we're seeing this right now with the World Series, you know, going on right now. I mean, you work so hard from preseason through an entire long, grueling season, and then if you're lucky enough to make it to the playoffs, and then if you're lucky enough to get to the next round, and it's such a long way to go for that opportunity to win the Cup. But, I mean, I guess that's what drives you guys every time you put on the skates.
Absolutely. That's why we'd want it. The hardest trophy to win.
Yep, sure is. And one of the most exciting sports there is, Anaheim Ducks versus the Devils. You can go in person, see it tomorrow night, or, of course, watch it on the TV. You guys put a great product out there on the floor, George. We're big fans of you, and we thank you for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Have a great weekend, man.
Appreciate it, guys. Good to hear from you.
Before you email me, no, I don't know why the keys got to be black. It's 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q at 942. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You only got a couple more minutes to meet our man, Ralph Garman, at Universal Studios Hollywood. He is down there, has been all day long today, meeting people as they show up to donate blood. It's the Bleed It Out blood drive going on today. You okay there, Ralph?
I am. I'm good.
Okay. I know you were freezing. It sounded like you were trying to rub to get warm a little bit there.
It is cold this morning, and so we were in a big theater here, and it has not yet warmed up inside because it was so cold this morning. So it's a little chilly, but it's good. Keeps me awake.
Tons of prizes for everyone who donates, and you can go to the website and get all the details on that. And even though Ralph is leaving here in just a few minutes, you got about five more hours to swing on by and meet other people and get other prizes. That goes on until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Time for a final look at the Showbiz Beat now on the Kevin and Bean Show. What you talking about, Ralph?
I did want to mention that the Bleed It Out blood drive is brought to you by not only Universal, of course, we're here at Universal Studios Hollywood, entertainment capital of Hollywood, but the movie Saw 3, which opens in theaters everywhere tomorrow. And this, besides the blood drive, Universal is a great place for Halloween because, you know, they've got the Halloween Horror Nights going on as well. They've got a ton of cool rides and attractions and some very cool mazes like Chucky's Maze. And there's people wandering the streets, the back lot here where it's got London Street and French Street. So even if you don't come down to donate for blood, and we certainly wish you do today, make sure to check out Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights this weekend. No better way to celebrate Halloween. Pam Anderson, we talked about this before. She is doing another...
Pam Anderson?
Yet another spread for Playboy magazine. I use that term loosely, of course. Mm-hmm. This is her, I believe, 11th time in the magazine, making her the record holder.
And I was originally sort of not exactly excited about that news. I think maybe we've seen Pam at her peak in Playboy and don't necessarily need to see her again. But then I found out today that she's doing it for a good cause. Playboy is paying Pam $25,000 for the upcoming shoot, but she's not taking a penny of it. In fact, she told Playboy just to write the check to a charity called Waves for Water, which is a charity that distributes water filters to people who don't have access to clean drinking water.
Oh.
So they send filters to Indonesia and Haiti and Pakistan, and they desperately need these filters, and so she is giving the entirety of the fee she's being paid by Playboy magazine to this charity and to help spread the word about the fact that people need clean drinking water. So that's kind of cool.
That's very nice of her. I am surprised that her fee would be so low to do Playboy. $25,000. Well, I mean, I would pay her $25,000 to come over and let me take pictures of her.
Well, I think, like we've said, this is her 11th time in the magazine, I believe. Right. There's not exactly a high demand for naked pictures of Pam Anderson.
There's no
shortage of those. The higher up price tags seem to be hung on celebrities who have never posed nude or who are hot in the pop culture right now, the people would like to see nude. Those are the people I think Playboy reserves the big offers for. So
now, Pam is 71 years old now.
She's not 71 years
old. She's got upper 60s at least. But
she's not. I don't even think she's, what is she, maybe 40?
40.
Is there going to come a point, though, where Playboy says no?
Given their track record with some of the people they put in the magazine, I think not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quite frankly. Speaking of money, congratulations to Al Pacino. He is currently on Broadway with The Merchant of Venice. The show just made into the top 10 of Broadway.